gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends, welcome back to the DC Superpowers Podcast, issue number 50 for New Comic Book Day, April 5th, 2017. I'm Ken Rose, your host. Sitting along with me here in the basement of the Hall of Justice is my good buddy Vern.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Vern, we're at issue 50.
We are. This is our big one.
Yeah, this is a huge one.
We're halfway there, 100.
And that's why, we actually have a real live audience watching us on Facebook Live tonight.
Hey, guys.
Hi, everybody.
I hope you enjoy this.
Yeah.
This is our first time doing it. I hope we don't mess up.
Well, anybody out there... Well, anybody out there in Facebook land, if you really like this and you want to see more of this, let us know on Facebook, on Twitter, on email, anything else. Get a hold of DC Superpowers Podcast. Let us know, and we could probably do this more often.
Yeah, if we are going to entertain you guys, we'll be free to do this.
That's right.
We like this.
So, but, Vernon, we have a big week that came in this week.
A lot of stuff. We have a lot of news, comic books,
now,
shows.
Did you get anything out of WonderCon yet?
I did not. There wasn't really nothing there at the time. I checked, at least.
Okay, well, next, WonderCon, as we're recording, Super Friends, WonderCon is going on, and DC has a pretty big presence there. So, next week, we're going to have a full WonderCon recap. We'll make sure everything we have, we can find, we'll piece through every little bit of news and see what we can pull out that's actually good to bring to you.
So hey, we can look it up right now, too, and, you know.
Yeah, you can look it up while we're going. But, well, we do have some other introductions to do. Because
do.
You guys have heard him on the show, but especially anybody watching on Facebook has not seen Ty. Welcome to the show.
Look at that beautiful face.
Yeah.
This is first for everybody, because the Super Friends haven't watched us either.
No, the first time seeing us actually on a camera.
That's right. So, but why don't we go ahead and jump into this? There was some big stuff on the TV front this week.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things. A lot of the episodes felt like they were season finales. At least now they're reaching their season finale.
Well, one of them is almost a season finale. It was like part one of the season finale for
Legends. Felt like part two after what happened in the last episode. But what happened here was a little destructive.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's start off with Supergirl.
Okay.
So, Viella, why don't you tell us what happened on Supergirl?
Oh, boy. Well, the Daxamites, the king and queen, came back, and the queen is a little bit more ruthless than what we thought. Basically, I went on in this episode, Mon-El's trying to tell his parents, look, I know I want to be, you guys want me to be prince of Daxon, but I don't want to do that. He's found love here on Earth. He wants Kara. Nothing else bad to happen to anybody on this planet. He doesn't want any more slaves. It just feels all wrong to him. But Kara's...
Maybe that might help.
But Kara's, she's not going to let him go either. So she goes on the ship, and she's like, you know what? We're going to get a fight to the death soon. But before all that happened, somebody out there hired these assassins to take out Kara. But we don't know who it is. And no one has this much money, at least in the galaxy like that, except for...
Yeah, it was like, what, 300 something crowns.
Yeah, I don't know. What was that, like 3 million
something
like that?
According to Mon-El, it's enough to buy a couple of planets.
Yeah, and a couple of planets mean... Ooh. Well, that means more slavery, too.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah, that all happens to her, and she's trying to hunt this down. Then she's got John and the crew working on this. But the sad thing is, no one can figure out who this might be except for Mon-El.
Mon-El has a general idea of what's going on.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? I'm going to invite my parents to the bar that I work at, and they were not happy about him at the bar. He's a prince, so why would he be serving drinks to anyone else?
Well, no. He doesn't. He's not a servant. He's a mixologist.
Yes.
It's an honorable profession.
As the guy over there says, hey, you working today?
No.
So, he sits them down, have a drink with them, and let them know, hey, I know you guys are the ones that hired her, and they deny it. They're like, we didn't do this. The dad looks dumbfounded, and the mom... Did you pick up a little something there? Like she knew something?
No, but we already knew from who they are and the way they've been acting that someone on the Daxamite ship is the one that put out the bounty on her.
Yeah, I figured it was both of them joined together that actually hired the assassin, but it really wasn't. As the episode goes by, we find out that the person that hired them was actually the queen, and then she brings
and the
out
king
these,
knew nothing about it. Actually, he honestly did not
all.
Know.
Genuine, he wants his son to be happy. But I didn't know you could make weapons like that out of Kryptonian...
Yeah, we gotta get to that. The coolest... The Queen of Daxam had Psy made out of kryptonite.
Kryptonite, yep.
So I never seen that before. Supergirl, she was actually able to cut Supergirl. She stabbed her in the thigh.
All I could think about was Melina from Mortal Kombat with kryptonite weapons. That's all that kept popping my head.
Well, that's the only reason Mon-El actually decides to go back to Daxam, so that the Queen will stop beating on Supergirl and save her from dying.
She was because she could have died, yeah. And when she stabbed her, you could just see the green running through her veins. It's like, oh yeah, she's getting poisoned from that stuff.
Oh yeah.
So,
Well, one of the other storylines that goes with this was we get to see Linda Carter again as the queen of, or as the, president of the United States.
I forgot about that part.
And when we get to the end of this, we got to talk about all the Legion references in this.
Yeah.
They were all over the place. But, I don't know how many of them you caught, but...
Well, hey, we got the internet.
I have a couple of them written down, but the President of the United States says, no attacking the Daxamite ship, I don't want to start an interstellar incident.
Yeah, mainly, I don't want wars. I want a war, but we find out from her, it could be her people that might also get involved in it.
Exactly. But, at this point, Supergirl talks John and the rest of the DEO into going ahead and mounting a rescue mission for Mon-El.
Right.
And there's an epic fight scene up on the ship.
Yeah, it's finally all the animosity they had to each other, her culture, her race, they came to a head here. Kara and, once again, the Daxamites went at it. But this time, we had some help from another Martian.
Yes.
Martian Manhunter pretend to be Supergirl while she stays on Earth. And who was it that went in there and actually saved... the Prince of the Daxamites. Which one went in there and helped him out?
Martian Manhunter teleports onto the bridge. Actually, we saw that teleport device again from a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah, they reused it for good this time.
Wynn actually figured out how it works. And he
teleports to the ship
to Mon-El's cell to actually free Mon-El.
Mm-hmm. Which he does, but the thing is now, the Kryptonite wasn't hurting Supergirl at all, and the Queen found out something's wrong. It was actually Martian Manhunter, so nothing would even hurt him compared to
Fire.
But then Kara, still, I didn't know why she did that. She gets on the ship and still wants to make a point. And she does. They defeat them. Everything goes bad, but it goes to the point where Mon-El opens up the window in outer space.
Yeah, he blasts out a window so that...
It's just going to suck everybody up. He didn't care about his parents dying or nothing. He's like, I'm done with you guys. So after that, the father knew he's made up his mind.
Yeah, he's made up his mind. He's got a new family.
So he's going to let him go back to Earth and be his girlfriend, be his friends, and be a hero that he wants to be and maybe change Earth, since they're not going to let them change Daxamite.
Exactly.
So,
there was a bunch of Legion references in this. The first time that Mon-El talks to his mother on Earth, Supergirl has him bring his mother down, they go to the fortress. And the first shot coming into the fortress is you see the Legion ring, which we've seen before, sitting on a pedestal in the fortress.
So do you think we might see the Legion in this episode?
We know Supergirl and Mon-El have both been members of the Legion in comics.
Right, in the comic books.
They both had big runs with the Legion of Superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they talk about... let me find the actual name of the alien, the race. It is... Oh, where'd it go? Durlin, or... I have it.
Are you talking about...
There. Yeah, Durlin. Mon-El at one point talks about he had a friend who was Durlin ambassador or something like that. Do you remember Chameleon Boy from Legion? Chameleon Boy.
Barely.
He was a
Durlin.
That was his race. And actually, at the end of this episode, we get to see what the president looks like in her alien form. And it doesn't say in the episode, but she is also a Durlin. Durlan. So the way they're pushing this, the way it's looking, it probably won't be this season. But at some point, we're going to see the Legion at some point somewhere in here.
Yeah, I think we are. Now, you think that one of them might join the Legion and just go away?
That may be how you get Mon-El off the show.
Yeah.
If he isn't stuck in the Phantom Zone. Because in the comic books, he actually gets lead poisoning, and they put him in the Phantom Zone to keep it from killing him.
Well, he also got the Green Lantern ring for a very short time, didn't he?
I don't remember that.
I thought he did. I was wondering if we could see a little crossover between that somehow.
That'd be it.
Out of all shows, I think Supergirl would be the one we could see Green Lanterns.
It's possible.
And also, we got a death in this show, too, from somebody that we didn't think it was going to happen.
Oh, yeah, that was the very, very end of the show. I almost forgot.
Because he let his son be, you know, a man and let him do his thing, he is the prince, for crying out loud. He can still be a king of a different planet, just in a different way than what they're used to.
Yeah.
Everything could have been peaceful. But the mother, the queen, didn't like how the father betrayed her, supposed to be her husband.
Well, when she thought he betrayed her. That's what she felt.
Yeah. Well, since he let their son be free and do what you wanted to, that was wrong. So she kills him at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now she's betrayed by her son and her husband, so she doesn't care anymore. At this point, now Mon-El is probably going to be the only one to take her down, and I guess we'll see that in the next episode, hopefully.
Oh, yeah. Well, we did hear, I have heard that Terry Hatcher is supposed to be the villain for the rest of the season.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
That's it. But everybody was wondering why we hadn't heard about Kevin Sorbo still being there. Well, now we know why.
He's dead.
Yeah, he's not going to be around anymore, I don't think.
No, after taking a stabbing like that.
So
gruesome.
But then we actually get to move on to Flash, and Flash was awesome. I've been waiting ever since I heard this was coming, or since the show first started. Mm-hmm. I was hoping we could see this at some point. We got to see Abracadabra.
Yes, and they paid off really well from comic book to the little screen.
He's one of my favorite of all the rogues.
And I was telling Ty, out of all the rogues he has, that's probably one of my few rogues I would say, if I was going to be a villain, I want to be him.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Using tech from the 64th century to make it look like magic?
Yeah.
I think someone told me it was, because I've heard this saying, they even mentioned it on the show, I think it was Asimov, that any technology sufficiently advanced enough will look like magic.
And that's what I was drawing him.
So that...
like,
and from the 64th century, I mean, everything's going to look like magic to us. Mm-hmm. But, and that's one reason why he came here, was because everything to hit in his world... Oh, it's not magic. We know it's science. We got everything tech-based. We don't need any imagination. So he was getting bored by that, so he came here. But just like Eobard Thawne did, he got stuck here. So now he's got to try to get back.
So we find Abracadabra comes to here actually from Earth 19, which is interesting because he's actually from the future of Earth Prime.
Yeah.
But he's been jumping across the multiverse, getting pieces parts for his time travel machine.
Right, so he can get back home to where he came. Just like Eobard Thawne did. And it's funny because he actually gets a piece of tech from Eobard Thawne in our world, so...
Yes. He actually has a leftover from the original Eobard Thawne.
Mm-hmm. And so basically this whole episode was Abracadabra came here and he wants to, well, get back home. That's all he wants to do. But in the process, of course, he's got to steal some stuff. And what does that mean? The bad guys are going to see... Or, sorry, not the bad guys.
The good guys are going to go after him.
Mm-hmm. And which they did. And this is where Flash sees him, and he's trying to figure out, who is this guy? And then he tells him something about the future, about Savitar.
Yeah, well, he says straight up, he convinces Barry by knowing things that are going to happen in the future that Barry and the rest of the team haven't told anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that Iris is not going to last much longer. He knows Savitar's running around. He knows all these things that, unless you're part of the team, you wouldn't know. So they're pretty convinced that he knows some future stuff.
Mm-hmm. And it's also put down a definite... Nothing has changed about the future. Because remember, every time he buys, he's like, nothing's changed yet, but we still got the 2 months. Well, if you guys don't do something now, those 2 months are going to hit you before you know it. And it's like this already where he comes from.
Well, we know they catch Savitar.
I wish they
Abracadabra, put him in the pipeline, which everybody knows that once you're in the pipeline, it kills any kind of powers, any kind of tech, anything. You can't use it if you're in the pipeline.
It's like the ultimate dead zone. So
they... Abracadabra tells him straight up, you know what? I know who Savitar is. Mm-hmm. If you let me free, I will tell you who Savitar is.
But he has a price for that.
Yes.
That's by letting him free. And here's the other thing. He also gets to keep his life. And on Earth 19, Gypsy wants to take him back. And on their planet, or their reality, when you do a crime, they don't just put you in jail.
Yeah.
You're death.
You're done.
So he doesn't want to die. That's his main reason for it.
And he's broken their biggest rule. Their biggest rule is...
murder.
No, they're... The thing was, he killed people,
right?
But also, he's a planet or a
reality
jumper.
Right. And once you
remember
start doing
being
that,
a breacher, means that's
the
one of their
crime.
Ultimate crimes.
Yeah, and the reason why because someone breached time and then a world explode or something.
They
people
had
died?
Yeah, something happened
something
on the world.
Happened.
I don't remember exactly, but yeah,
it involved a lot of death and a lot of mishap in reality, or at least the planet shift. So
exactly.
So he tells them, if you let me out, I'll tell you. And they're like, we'll think about this. And Barry's like, nah, a chance. And then he starts thinking to himself, well, I really want to get Iris safe. I want to make sure she's here. So they even start talking about it. But before anybody can make up their mind they're going to let him go or have him get killed, Joe steps up to the plate and says, I don't want my daughter to die. So I'll let you go. I know how criminals work. And, you know, you always want some type of price. And if we can catch you again, we caught you now, we can always catch you again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that same time this is happening, Cisco and... Gypsy are having a heated conversation, not paying attention really to anything. Once they find out he's opening up the breach, he's opening up the cell and he's coming through, she jumps in right there as he's going to tell Joe what happens in the future and messes up everything. He gets out, he's back on the run, and they're going to have to find him again.
Yeah, well, no, he doesn't actually make it out of Star Labs. And actually, if you watch this, I think he was actually called on purpose. Because the last thing he needed for his ship was the power source that was in the Braille Star room. Labs. It was in the Braille room in Star Labs.
Right, okay.
So
I didn't pay attention to that.
The easiest way to get into Star Labs, get
caught. Act like you're getting caught. And he's got the mat. That makes sense. but as this happens, we see Caitlin get seriously injured.
Yes. Caitlin gets shrapnel through her gut.
Yeah, not just she had a pipe through her gut. The shrapnel, once they pulled out, was still in there, and she was doing pretty bad.
But Caitlin does awesome because she actually talks Julian through surgery while she's watching.
But the thing is, they didn't even need surgery. All they had to do was yank it out and take off her collar, and she would be Killer Frost, and she would heal up.
Yeah, but she'd become Killer Frost.
That's the downside. So she talks to Julian in this episode. She talks to Julian through surgery, and he doesn't kill her. He doesn't mess up, thank goodness, and removes all the scrap metal out of her, and she's fine. But there's also still the problem for Abracadabra.
Yes.
Well, as Ken said, he breaks into Star Labs. Well, he didn't really break in. He got caught. Now he's breaking into the Braille room, and he takes the piece of Eobard Thawne's ship to get him back to the future, and he puts in his. So now he's ready to go bomb Bioz and go back home.
That's right.
So we have Kid Flash and Flash chasing after him. The thing is, Kid Flash wasn't fast enough to do so.
No.
Was he? Which was kind of weird. I was like, I thought he was. But maybe after coming out of the Speed Force,
he's
a little...
I think he's still having doubts.
Yeah. Because I'm like, well, he should have been caught up when we already seen he's faster than Flash. We always knew that.
Wally, I think, is still deep in his own head.
A little traumatized.
He's deep in his own head.
But once he gets out of there, we'll see him back in action. But for now, Barry... This is new, right? I never seen Barry do this before.
Which one?
When he's actually running up on the buildings, jumps in midair, and then phases through and catches him.
It's the same thing he's been doing. Is just
a combo.
Combination of all of them.
I never seen him do a combo before.
He's been running up and down the sides of buildings since the beginning.
Season one, yeah.
He's been phasing through walls at least all this season, if not more.
I think it was
you just combine them together and you got it.
It might have been one, but I know he did in two.
Yeah.
But he did a combo on this one. I thought that was really cool how he's running up the buildings and he's focused, too. All he's thinking about is if he goes back, Iris is dead. If he goes back, Iris is dead. He does not want Iris to die, so he becomes the ultimate Flash, really.
Yeah.
He runs up the side of a building, vibrates his body as he's going through the air, and goes in Abracadabra's ship, pulls him out of his ship, and lands him on the ground while the ship goes into the future with no Abracadabra. So that means he's probably going to go to Earth 19 and gets executed.
That's right.
But before they can take him back to Earth 19, Barry does the whole hero speech and says, look down deep into your heart and you'll reveal it if you really have any good in you. He knows somewhere out there he cares for somebody. Yeah, no.
I'm out.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? I know what happens in the future. I know how bad of a villain Savitar is to you. And if I don't help, it's kind of like I'm contributing to her death. So I'm like your other greatest villain. And it's like, I'll walk away and die happy for that. Wow.
Well, there's also at one point he talks about how Barry's ultimate villains or rivals.
Right.
He talks about Thawne. He talks about Zoom. And what's the other name?
Captain Cold?
No. The name is do you remember a villain called the Thinker?
Sounds familiar.
It's more of an obscure villain, but he's the other name that they mentioned. I don't remember exactly who it was or who the Thinker is, but it was another villain from DC. And the theory is maybe that's going to be part of the villains for next...
Oh, yeah, this guy.
Yeah, what was the name?
Wasn't he introduced a little bit... No, his first appearance...
What's his name?
The Thinker.
I know, but no, what's his actual...
Let's go on here.
His actual name, not this...
His birth name. Does he have... he's got a couple.
DeVoe. They said Thawne... Because he mentioned... Abracadabra mentioned Barry's greatest foes as Thawne... Thawne, Zoom, and DeVoe. I'm like, DeVoe, and I heard it from another podcast, the Thinker. So.
Yeah, and they even said because of that, other people noticed he may be appearing on the show, too, because they don't just leave names like that.
That's like all the Legion references that we talked about for Supergirl. Mm-hmm. I mean, at some point, we're going to see the Legion.
And that's how I feel also, we're jumping ahead a little bit, but how I feel in Green Arrow, because we've heard Cord Industries,
all over the place. They're
since
just
season one.
I think they did that, I'm thinking they did that, hoping that at one point they'll get the okay to use Blue Beetle.
I think they should, especially with him in the comic books right now. I figured we was going to see him sooner.
Yeah.
But we're jumping ahead a little bit.
Yeah.
But, yes, that was really the end of this episode, except the very, very end, Barry starts to finally think like a speedster should. Now, in the past, we've seen every time Barry goes into the future or the past, he screws up something.
Yeah.
But you don't have to time travel and screw up something. You can just be there to notice, look a little bit, and figure out your plan and go back in
just
time.
Just don't change nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
So, he figures out, you know what? Savitar, Thawne, Zoom, they've all had one step ahead of me every time. Well, I'm done letting them get a step ahead of me. I'm going to be the one that can think before they do. I'm going to go to the future and talk to my future self and see if he can help me with all this. So
exactly. That's and then next month, when it comes back, I think April 25th is the next episode.
Yeah.
So at the end of the month, we get to actually see this next episode.
A long wait, but it'll be well worth
it. Have you watched the trailer for that?
I did.
That the long suit? Hair berry.
Well, the new suit.
Yeah, now
the gold belt and
I thought they were going to take from his future costume in the new 52. He was wearing like this blue lightning.
Yeah.
But I was thinking they were doing that with Savitar. Wait, it makes sense maybe if they're both blue since they're speedsters, but I love this.
No,
because
in the show, if you watch, the color of the lightning actually matters. Because the yellow lightning is the Flash, Kid Flash, Jesse Quick all have yellow lightning. The reverse Flash, which uses the reverse speed force, so has always been red.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And blue is Savitar, so it's a totally
blue
different
also
side.
Zooms, too.
Was Zoom blue?
Mm-hmm. Zoom was blue as well.
Yes, sir.
And then he turned red after he became the Death Speedster? The Black Flash.
Yeah, Black Racer.
Black
Racer. Is what you're thinking.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew it was something dark in there. But I'm just looking up the future costume right now. But yeah, that's really all that happened. We'll see Flash meeting Flash in the next episode.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting episode.
Very.
Well, from there, we get to move to Legends of Tomorrow, and this was great.
Oh, man, I wanted to explain this to Ty earlier, but I was like, there's so much to go on in there. I'll just wait for the show.
Well, we found out on Legends, the Legion of Doom, which we got the Hall of Doom. Did you see
that? We did get the Hall of Doom.
We got their version of
the
Hall of
Doom.
It was
a lot more cleaner than what I thought it was going to be.
Well,
it wasn't in a swamp or nothing.
It's also in the middle of a city.
It was basically Star Labs, but...
Well, no, Star Labs was there also.
No, I'm saying, but it was another building.
It was another Star Labs building in the middle of the city. But the Legion of Doom, we saw in the last episode, used the Spear of Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And they've rewritten reality to build their own. And now we have Damian Dark with his magic as the mayor of Star City.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm Merlyn has his whole family back and his fortune and his company back. And Eobard Thawne is like the smartest man in the world and is in charge of Star Labs.
To be honest, out of every character in here, I felt bad more for him because this is all he's ever wanted.
Yeah.
And I'm watching this, I'm like, you know what? He's kind of like being a dictator, but he's not doing bad. He's helping people.
Kind of, yeah.
Kind of.
Well, what it is
he's threatening people's lives that can jeopardize his setup. But besides that, he was okay to me.
Well, you remember, what was his motivation this entire season? Has been to get away from the Black Racer.
Right.
Well, in this one, we see he's got him caught.
And that's
but to get away from the Black Racer... he ends up saying, you know what? Reality's changed, and more than likely he changed it so he's not a time aberration anymore. He's actually a real boy.
Yeah. He doesn't have to worry about
that. Black Racer's not looking for him, but he's still going to catch him and keep him trapped.
Because here's my thing thinking about this. Now, I get you having your greatest enemy or your greatest weapon right by you all the time and keep an eye on him, but having something that can... You're basically having the Grim Reaper trapped.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's still just a little too close for comfort. I don't want him in a room or space. I want him shrunk down, thrown in like a phantom zone or something. I just seen him in a glass cage right in his office. I'm like, I don't want to see that when I go in my office every morning.
The other one that's interesting is they rewrote reality, and they could have just totally wrote off the Legends, and they're gone.
They could have.
But that was Mick's actual contribution to this.
Right.
Well, the other one, we find Snart actually owns all the banks in Central City.
Yeah, but they're still robbing...
he can rob the banks all he wants, because it's all his anyway.
See, this is... I don't know. It's confusing me, because, I mean, even like in the Suicide Squad comic books, once... this is just a Rogues thing, I really think. Once Amanda Waller let them out for the night, Captain Boomerang went out there, and he went to the club, and he's spending money and everything, and he starts talking polite to women, and he's not... treating them like trash, and he's like, what happened to me?
Right.
So I'm thinking, that's probably what's going to happen on here, and like, okay, we've got to our level of fame that we wanted to, we can be civilized. No, they're still robbing banks.
What it is they love the thrill of robbing a bank, but Mick didn't know that they wouldn't get chased. The chase is part of it. So when the cops show up and say, oh, well, you're free to go, Mick's like, wait a minute, I don't like this.
Yeah, he's like, this isn't any fun. I mean, that's the point of us robbing banks is so we can get chased. We might get caught. We might not. If we wind up in jail, we can break out. It's fun.
Yeah.
Without that, what's the point of doing this? That's why I thought Snart would say, hey, we've got all the money here. We have our own building we can start up.
He did bring up, you know what? This other bank across town has a brand new vault. We can go crack the vault.
But he's like, literally Mick's like, you own it. So what's the point?
Yeah.
And then they get a call saying, they have a little issue with one of the old Legends.
Well, we're getting there. Mick's contribution to all this was that the Legends are still in the world.
Yeah.
But they've all been rewritten.
Mm-hmm.
You have, and actually, we saw Felicity die in this episode.
Oh, yeah, that actually happened at the very beginning. So all the fanboys that You know what?
There's been a lot of people that have been asking for this to actually
happen. Yeah, I don't know what to call them. I want to call them haters, because I was in this too.
They're haters.
The whole Olisti thing that we're bothering everyone, seeing just Green Arrow and Felicity together, it's like, that shouldn't be, it should be Black Canary and Green Arrow. So, she was one of the reasons that made a lot of people upset at the show last season. They fixed that at the beginning of this one. And in this episode, she's her goth stage.
And she almost looked like Huntress.
Huntress. I thought it was Huntress for a second until they said her name.
She's actually being hunted by Sarah and Mari.
Yep. Vixen
they are
and,
actually the,
and White Canary are now
personal bounty hunter enforcers for
assassin
Mayor Damian Dark.
Hit women.
Yeah.
Whatever he needed done, they're like, fine, boss, we got it. And they love killing people.
Exactly.
That's the thing. They just do this for money. They're just like, hey, we can we get the thrill just like Captain Boomerang, or not Captain Boomerang, Captain Cold and Heatwave love to steal. They love to hurt and kill people.
Exactly. Well, and also, they collect trophies. Because you see Damian Dark in the corner of his office. He's got a case with masks.
Yeah, and he's got every single character you could think
of. Well, he's got Wild Dog, Ragman,
Vigilante.
What, five, six. Yeah, Ragman, Wild Dog, Vigilante, Arrow, Black Canary, and Flash.
Yeah.
He had the masks for all those that are dead. So now he's adding Felicity's mask.
Yep.
Oh, no, Spartans was there also.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So he, and, oh, wow, we said Wild Dog.
Yeah, I said Wild Dog.
So, yeah, he had everyone that we can think of from this season.
The only one, well, he didn't have Speedy or Arsenal, but the two of them are pretty much downsided
dead.
Heroes now.
Not dead,
too.
But they're called, their superhero days are kind of over right now.
Felicity
they haven't
was
went
running,
back.
Did you see she flipped it? It looked like she flipped one of the T-balls?
Yeah.
So she's got the T-balls in this universe.
So Mr. Terrific was still doing his job.
Maybe he's out there doing something, yeah.
But yeah, anyways, she dies. She gets her... this was very brutal. I'm like, oh, geez. But I was also smiling a little bit on the inside. they just literally snap her neck. He said, kill her. Snap. And Felicity just drops. And I could hear fanboys all across the way just so happy about that. but that happened in... Now, we're going to get a breakdown of what everyone else is doing that's in the Legion, since Mick begged for them not to get killed or destroyed or never existed.
Yeah.
They all have regular lives, except for, who is that? White Canary and Vixen. They're the assassins. Everyone else are normal. We have Adam Ray. He's a janitor for Star Labs.
For Star Labs.
Then you have, Citizen Steel. Nate. Yeah. He's just... Is he conspirator? What is this guy?
Like,
this
yeah, is like his job. None, but they gave him a mullet.
They did.
Now that's
geez.
The torture for him.
That is, and he sound. He just wasn't himself. I'm like,
well,
this is the complete opposite of what his bad
actually,
boy persona kind of is. He kind of has that smirky attitude about him. Like, yeah, I know everything. Kind of, I'm a smart guy.
But he comes to Eobard Thawne and says, "Hey, wait, something's wrong here. If you look at." Something's wrong with reality in general.
Yeah, he said, I'm getting these scars. And they're like, what's scars?
Yeah, reality itself is scarred right now.
Right. It said the same way as you have surgery and you repair something, you're going to have the same thing with reality. And he's seeing these different things. His mind's twisting. He's seeing glimpses of old things that are bringing up his old memories. And it's like, wait a minute. I never seen this, but it feels so familiar. I know I have.
Yeah. Well, he brings it to Eobard Thawne, being the smartest man in the world, and says, look for this. And then Eobard's like, oh, I'm glad you brought that to me. And Snart and Mick are sitting there. And he's like, well, we'll take care of this. My two friends are going to help you out here. Kill him.
Yep.
Wait a minute here.
Because I was trying to help the world. And in this right here, this is where they start talking. And they're like, should we even do this? Should we kill him or should we not? Who cares, really? And they're having second doubts. By the way, everyone that works for Reverse Flash right now hates him. They don't like him. They don't want him having that spear. So Damian Dark and Malcolm Merlyn have been trying to even figure out what way can we bring this guy.
Well, yeah, that's because he has the spear. No one else has control of the spear.
Here's my thing. Once again, we'll get back to this, but I had a little, not issue, but I was just like, guys, you're living in a perfect world. Why are you trying to change? This is literally the perfect world. You have your family, you have your wife, you have your money. You've got your magic, you got all the masks, you've killed all these people that could hurt you.
Why does it matter if it can still be changed?
You guys are just being selfish now. And this is where I said I did agree with Eobard Thawne. If he's trying to create a new reality, we'll get to that later. But let him do his thing.
Yeah.
But they're getting ready to kill Citizen Steel. And right before they do that, Mick punches Captain Cold. Like, you know what? This isn't right. And Mick is the reason why all this is happening.
That's right.
He had an opportunity to give it back to the Legends. He did not. He gave it to the Legion, and look what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So he knocks him out, and he says, I made a terrible mistake, and then he's trying to jog his memory once they're in the car ride, and nothing's working. So they go back to his house, and he still lives with his mother in her.
That's
basement.
Right. She makes great sandwiches.
Yes, she does. That was the best thing.
No, yeah. The best part of this episode was next thing they do is Mick tells them, well, I know another really smart guy that can help us out with this. And that's when they go to see Ray Palmer, who
is a janitor.
Is a janitor playing video games.
And by the way, he's a janitor of the same building of Star Labs, and the people that work there at Star Labs, one of them's a very bad guy that you kind of just want to see get in a car wreck, and the other one you felt really bad for. Professor Stein is still a professor. He's still working for Star Labs, but he's basically being held captive right now. He has not left that building in a month.
He's in charge of a new project making this crazy super powerful reactor.
Yep. And why does it need so much energy? We don't know yet.
Yeah. And his boss is Jax.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say slave worker is Jax.
Well, yeah.
Because this dude could not leave. He wanted to see... And his daughter's still alive in this reality, too. Is she a time remnant still, or is she
I don't know.
Because at this point, if it happened in a different reality and she's still there, I feel like that's kind of like, I think reality's fixed this. I don't know. It's confusing. But he wants to see his wife. He wants to see her. And they still did not mention, by the way, if his wife is still alive in our time. Because that's the one question I've been having for this whole show.
Yeah.
His daughter's there. They never said nothing about the wife. And every time, the first day they went in there, they said, oh, and she laughs it off like, she's not here. And it's like... Mm-hmm. Is she gone or is she dead?
I don't know.
Clarify.
But back to when they found Ray,
mm-hmm.
and Ray's tinkering and inventing stuff, has no idea what it's for or anything else. And,
did you get the glimpse of a video game stoner genius? What he really was?
Well, no. Did you see the video game he was playing and what the energy meter was?
Yeah.
It was Dwarf Star Energy
what they already had. Yeah. So I was like, oh, that's a nice little nod from what they already did, and it's all in their mind too.
We find out, because they're trying to figure out how to get their memories back, or Mick wants to get them to get their memories back, and Ray happens to have built this little gun, some kind of ray, and he's like, well, it should do something like this, maybe, I guess.
It'll restore your memories. It's funny that they forget everything, but for some reason, this is the scar.
They can still do all that, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, well, for some reason, I just made this gun that will restore everyone's memory.
And he's like, well, hopefully either that or fry their brain. I don't
or
know.
Or fry their brain. This is why he's trying on himself.
So Mick grabs the gun and just shoots him in the head.
Yep. He's like, you could have killed him. He wakes up.
No. The best thing is, he shoots Ray in the head. Ray gets up, looks at Mick, and decks him.
Wait, no. Before he shot Ray, he shot Citizen Steel. He punches him.
Oh, Nate? Yeah.
And he's like, oh, okay. I deserve that. Then it happens to Ray. He punches him. He's like,
okay.
All right. I deserve that too, but you guys better stop pushing.
Next up, they actually go and to Damian Dark's office,
mm-hmm.
and get Sarah. Or no, they were going to get Sarah and Mari.
Yeah, and this is when Captain Cole is coming back saying, "Yeah, my buddy, he's kind of
Sarah and Mari showed up at Ray's house because
not yet.
Damian Dark had sent them to get,
but that was after what Captain Cole told them.
Okay. Oh yeah, because Captain Cole tells them
right
what
because he's like my buddy.
Yeah,
he made a mistake. I mean, he's made so many mistakes now. So that's when you get the two assassins to head back to Star Labs where they're at, and they try to fix them as well. But White Canary's the only one that gets hit.
Well, the nice thing is they shoot White Canary in the head. She gets her memories back and hits Mick.
Oh yeah, that's the other part. She hits Mick, and Mick says, "Okay, anyone else who hits me, I'm punching back this time."
So we got four of the legends now that have their memories back. So Mari's still out there. Stein and Jackson are still out there. And Rip. We have no idea what happened to Rip. But we find out the Rip is on the Wave Rider with
Gideon still.
Gideon has all the memories, but the ship is totally shut down. And Rip, to pass the time, is baking cakes.
And that became his new passion is cooking. Drink myself to sleep, cooking. Wake up, cooking. Because right now he's a little depressed, so he's not really Rip right now. He reminded me a little bit more of Constantine on his bad day.
Well.
So we still know where he is, but we do know he's been trying to send out a signal, and Gideon's trying to tell him, Cap, you can still send out a signal if you really get off your butt and try stuff. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, I can't do it. You already know they got the sphere. Time's rewritten. I'm hopeless. There's no hope in the world.
Yeah.
And he's really sad and depressed, but he's still making sweet things.
Well, jumping ahead a little bit, we find they were able to actually... Mari is still working. When did they shoot her?
They shot her when Sarah went back into the building, and she was trying to pretend to still be his assassin.
Oh, yeah.
Damien caught that at me. He's like, oh, yeah, now they restored your memory.
Yeah.
And this is the best part. Which one of these heroes in here, Mask, did you like killing the best?
Yeah.
Me? I love Black Canary. I love killing her. That's when she just tried to punch him. It's like, yeah, I got you. But that's when she shoots Vixen, and they run away, and none of them have their powers, by the way.
No one has powers in this one.
The suit? Nothing. If they had any type of power to connect to each other or their brain, nothing. It's gone. So they're using guns, swords, whatever they can get their hands on.
Well, they eventually get Jax back also.
Right.
But when Jackson goes back to the plant to shoot Stein,
Stein thinks it's a gun. He really thinks a gun because he knows they've been lurking him like a slave. And it's like, hey, if you don't build this machine by, I don't know, 12 o'clock, we're killing you. Yeah. Or if you don't do this, your family's never going to see you again. Or if we do this, your family wish they could have been there to see you because they'll be dead. So they're threatening him. So all he sees is Jax pulling out some type of weapon, holding it to his head. He knocks it out of his hand, and it breaks.
Yes.
So one of the smartest members on the team can't even help them now.
But at this point, he's actually fired up the reactor.
Yeah.
And we find out once everybody's back in the reactor, and we have the Legion actually in there with them also,
mm-hmm.
that this is a reactor that's superheated enough that it could actually destroy the spear.
And
that's the Eobard's whole plan, is destroy the spear so that reality cannot be changed back.
This perfect reality he's made for these criminals.
Exactly.
It is. This is a perfect reality for criminals. So they are all trying to go against them. So you have the Legion. Then you have Mick and Captain Cold that broke off from each team. And they're just working as a duo, as they usually do. And the Legends all trying to stop Eobard. But the thing is, he's a speedster. He can really take them all on.
Exactly.
Like that. So this was becoming a problem, but they do eventually do a hot potato with the spear. Vixen's the one to pick it up, and they're like, hey, say what you need to say.
Yeah, told her to go ahead and fix reality, and she had memorized the incantation.
And
she starts to say the incantation.
And then this was a sly son of a gun. That's why I love Captain Cold. He's like, what is everybody doing? I'm a bad guy. As she's speaking, everyone's like, oh no, we can't do anything because she's reading. He just freezes her and then tips her over and she breaks into pieces like, duh, we could have bended that. It's fixed now. Like,
so we get the death of Mari.
Yeah. I shouldn't be laughing at that. No one thought about doing that. Just he did.
Oh, wait.
What you got there?
It's Mari, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, that's
Mari's the granddaughter. Yeah. I've been calling her Vixen for a reason.
Yeah, Vixen. Oh, couldn't remember the name.
No, that's why I've been saying Vixen this whole time. Like, we have Mari, but that's not Mari.
But we see her death.
Yeah, we do. I'll get to it in a second. I'm looking it up right now as he still talks about it. Amara,
okay. Close enough.
Tell her later, right?
Yeah.
So, and then when this happened, when he killed her, I'm like, well, we're not going to see Vixen in the future unless they fix this mess.
Well, we do find out that Eobard does destroy the spear. And at this point, the Legion and the Legends both are like, you know what? That's right. It. All bets are off. We're just going to kill him. All of them together.
Yeah, they're like, screw it.
So he actually gets away.
Of course.
And then when the Legends are together by themselves, they decide, well, how do we actually fix this now that the spear's gone? There's no hope on this.
Well, no, here's actually what happened before. They just go away. The security came in and was going to arrest them.
Yes.
But Thawne's like, what's the point of arresting any of you guys? And this is where I'm like, he's still, once again, I'm on his side. If I was a villain, there's no problem. You two that betrayed me, don't ever really happen again. But this is the perfect world, so you'll learn from this.
Yeah.
He's giving another try, because, like, as he said, all of you try to kill me, I can kill you before you can even blink.
Yeah.
And none of you have your powers either. And then the Legion, he's letting them go, because they're not a threat anymore. They don't have the spear, and they just lost a team member. And the other team member that's smart is still working for him. So this is when they do go back to Captain Citizen Steel's house. They're still eating mom's sandwiches.
And every one of the team has tried these sandwiches and talks about, dude, your mom makes the best sandwiches. Oh, wait, it's not his mom's house, remember, because he pays rent for the basement, so it's technically
so it's his. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Technically. But they're like, you know what? We have a plan. We can still go back in time. They're like, how? Everything. Literally, there's no hope. We still have Rip and Gideon and the ship, but we have to figure out
how we're going to find them.
Exactly. And he's been... Well, now Gideon and Rip are working to make some type of contact with somebody if they can get it.
Yeah, the next scene you see is them actually turning on the distress beacon.
Yep, and he's back in his suit. He's done with the little binge drinking. He's not depressed no more. He's got his willpower back, and Gideon's trying to send out the signal. The thing is, we find out where they've been this whole time. They've been right in front of them, literally under their noses. I'm figuring out that Eobard Thawne probably shrunk them down with Ray's technology before he destroys it, and they're like a little miniature model kit ship on his desk, and it's Gideon and Rip, and they have no idea how to fix themselves because they don't even know where they are.
Yeah.
So he has them as a toy display case, always keeping his friends close, but his enemies closer.
But we do find that the whole plan is they have to go back to 1916 when the Legion got the spear and find out what we do from there.
So we'll see if they can do that in the next episode.
Mm-hmm. And that brings us to Arrow for this.
The last one. And this was pretty good. Once again, Arrow keeps impressing me.
So go ahead and let us know what happened on Arrow.
All right. Now, after getting brutally tortured by Prometheus, Ollie's broken at this point. He's
the broken Oliver Queen.
Yes, we do.
He took a page out of Matt Hardy's book.
I was just... Why did that make me think of that exactly? I just chuckled to myself, like, don't mention that. That's funny, though.
Seven deities have turned their back. Okay,
I gotta watch that at some point. I've not watched any of that stuff. It's supposed to be phenomenal.
Oh, man.
I've not got a chance to sit down and watch it.
I want to do just my terrible accent of Matt Hardy and just God, it's so great.
Any of it?
I've not seen any of that stuff. Final deletion, any of that stuff, I have not seen yet.
Final deletion! Oh, man, I love Matt. Okay, let's get back on the combos. So, we have Broken Ollie. He's telling the team, hey, I give up. There's no point in us even doing this.
The team is done.
Yeah, anyone around me, by the way, dies, and I don't want you to get you guys hurt, so I'm going to handle this and dig on them like, oh, you can. He's like, no, I'm done. But, of course, the other team are not going to listen to him. They're going to do their own thing. But since Ollie told them and gave them an order, he's going to set up his own way of getting them back. And that is by having the Brotha come back to Star City and taking everything out.
Taking out Prometheus.
Exactly. And when I say taking everything out, I don't mean people by killing them. They want drugs. They want certain drugs to make a new heroin for Russia.
Yeah. The Brotha have a price.
Yes. And always you have to shake and make a deal and have a drink to make sure everything's going to go in plan. Now, if you break that plan, you are not brothers anymore with the Brotha. You just made a new, very, very deadly enemy, and you don't want that. This is why he's been working with them for, what, like the past 10 years now? Something like that for Ollie. So they've been very close, and he's still relying on him, but Diggle's convincing him otherwise. And also, with all this going on, you also have Felicity taking matters into her own hands. And Felicity is really becoming an anti-hero at this point.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to fix her from all the hate that she got last season. It's like, let's make her a bad butt and just let her do things like this. So she goes back to her new team, and she wants them to get this new device that can unpixelate anybody's face that might be on a satellite monitor.
Well, they found out, Prometheus, they actually found video because the Helix that she's working with has access to everything. They found
more
video
than the government
of
Prometheus ever will.
Taking his mask off. The problem is, Adrian has a device on him that hides his face anytime that he's on a camera anywhere.
Anywhere. But, once again, working with them, they have technology for anything, meaning to hack the technology you think can't be hacked.
Yes.
That's really scary. That's too much power, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But, so they're working on that throughout the whole show to crack that and get to see his face so they can put him in custody and get rid of him.
If you can actually get a picture or video of him taking the mask off and showing his face, then
the
police can arrest him.
Arrow's clear, too. Ollie's clear. They don't have to worry about this. But since he is still the mayor, Prometheus is still going into work every day like nothing happened. Which sucks. Your worst enemy is now working with you. So, as this episode goes on, we find out Diggle's doing his own thing, the Brotha's doing their own thing, and that cross-links with each other not well. Because of that, they almost got their whole mission sabotaged.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have Felicity trying to do this, but Curtis is smart as well. So he looks in her bag, looks in her laptop, and he notices, oh, you're trying to find a device for this with them here? He just kind of puts everything together, and he... does he get one of the T-balls? No, he cracks it, actually, himself, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He cracks it, and he says, I know you guys are trying to do a chase and show his face, so here you go. And then they also say, well, it looks like Mr. Terrific and... what'd they call her again? Felicity, what's her code name?
Felicity is Overwatch.
And they call them by their code name there, Helix. And they're like, wait, how'd you know that? Like, guys, we have all this technology. You don't think we did a background check on you guys before you came in our
They building? Already know that they're heroes and what their names are as heroes.
So they get this device. And after all this is going through, the Brotha are still trying to kill Adrian Chase because Ollie told them to. The thing is, Ollie's now having a change of heart because Diggle is not giving up on him. He came to him about 3 times in this episode.
Ollie keeps saying the team's disbanded and they're still working with Diggle.
Because Diggle is actually the leader of this team at this point.
And
he just breaks and says, you know what? You're right. You are my friend. You're my brother. and you're not going to stop me, and you're just going to help me before I go into this dark hole of mine.
Yeah.
So he tells the Bratva, you know what? Deal's off. You cannot do that. If you start a deal with the Bratva, they have to finish it, and you pay them. He says, well, I won't pay you guys if you don't do it. He's like, no, we need that money. And then we find out, really, I felt bad for, I'm just going to call him KGB's at this point. I'm forgetting what his real name.
Anatoly.
He told Anatoly.
I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name.
Yeah, we're going to leave that alone.
Kanyenev or something like that? I don't know. It starts with a K and ends with a B.
Immediately attempts it.
Okay. I'm not above making a fool of myself on the internet.
And we're being shown, but we're doing good so far, so let's just keep making him laugh. So he goes back in the past and they see what happened in Russia all those years ago. He told Ali directly, you're basically my muscle and I'm kind of the brain here, really, but you keep me on point. You always show me the good that I might lose. But the funny thing is, Ali at this point was the darker one and Anatoly was the lighter side.
Yeah.
And he told him, if you leave me, I don't know what monster I will become. He tells him that directly and he's like, well, I have to still save my city. You save this. I see what you're doing. You give me hope that you guys will be on the right path. Well, in this episode, after all this happens, they have a falling out because he broke the deal with the Bratva, and he's thinking, you're not what you used to be. You used to be a good man. You did good things for the city. But then he told him, I told you, if you leave me, I don't know what monster I will become. So Ollie starts to become a better hero while he becomes worse of a criminal.
Yeah.
They really needed each other, and that's why I was like, I kind of feel bad for him. He was right. He's got all this bad stuff working with him, and he can't control all this by himself. He's got to take these different leads and deals to keep the family going. And that's what he did for his family to survive. And now, if they ever come back to Star City, I really don't think Ollie's going to have friends. He's going to have someone trying to kill him, and he cannot come back to Russia. But they do crack the picture for Adrian Chase, and the Bratva do leave on better terms than we thought, even though him and Ollie hate each other at this point. They give all this information to the cops, and the cops are going to go to Adrian Chase while he's in custody of what happened earlier in the show. Well, he kills the cops that were in the room before they can even blink.
Well, before that, the Bratva actually were still trying to fulfill their
kill Adrian contract. Chase.
The police originally were taking Chase to a safe house, and the Bratva wrecks the caravan and tries to kill Chase.
That's right.
And that's when Team Arrow actually gets involved and stops the Bratva.
Oh, okay.
That's what brings up the whole thing with Adrian, all of a sudden, now he's in custody of the U.S. Marshals, and no one knows where he's at.
Yeah, but the police know where he's at, and once they
The police don't know either, but they contact the U.S. Marshals once they find out that Adrian
is Prometheus.
Okay, I
see police cars going toward that building. I'm like, okay.
They knew after they had found out.
Okay. Well, since he killed them.
Yeah, he killed the U.S. Marshals that were chasing him, and he starts driving away.
And as the cop cars are arriving there, he's just going right by them.
Exactly.
And they don't even, this is the thing that gets me about cops on the show. It's like, guys, you see that car is coming from that facility? You might want to stop them.
Well, that was just some back road somewhere. I didn't know where it came from.
Well, he's getting away.
Yeah.
So Prometheus is still out there.
He's on the run. We know who he is, but no one knows where he's at.
And you know, by the end of all this, I felt really afraid for everybody.
Yeah.
He has nothing to lose now. There's nothing.
And Ollie still isn't
that's a
Green Arrow
man.
Yet.
Very dangerous man.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
Ollie at this point is still wearing black again with the black mask that they've been doing.
So
eventually he'll go back, but he says he's not ready for green yet because remember, what's his name? Wild Dog. They set up all the mannequins again with all their costumes and says, Hoss, there's some green missing. You need to put some more green in there. He says, not yet.
Yeah.
So he still he feels he's not worthy of the Green Arrow yet.
Do you think this also might throw him more into being the Green Arrow that we're used to seeing? Because he's definitely doing a lot more this season, but he's still not the Ollie Queen out of the comic books. This
it's
might be
there.
The reason why. But Prometheus is out, and they need to keep their guard up.
Yep. So, we do have some Arrow news.
We do.
We actually, this week they put out, the CW put out, Warner Brothers Television put out that Katie Cassidy is returning to the show as Laurel Lance.
Yep. And
but as Black Siren.
Right. And she will be a series regular, seems like.
Yeah, next season. Well, she's going to be in episodes 22 and 23 of this season, which is the season finale.
Okay, so those are the
And she's going to be a series regular for next season.
So, everyone that was a little upset over her death, she's back. She's just not going to be Black Canary, but she will be Black Siren.
And Black Siren was from Earth 2, wasn't she?
Yes.
Yes. So we get Black Siren next year, and the next one is the big one.
Yeah, this
we've been talking about
great.
This for a while. Well, we have some pictures now.
This looks awesome. Like I've heard some people say they don't like the costume, but for a TV show, this is
it's
great.
A lot more
guys,
techie.
This is
it's
perfect.
A lot more techie than I expected.
Which to me it makes sense because having all this electrical energy, you need something to contain that. Well, if not, you just
before
go,
we get too far into this, they've actually put out the concept drawing for Black Lightning for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. Have they got the official poll yet, or is this still just getting the?
I don't think they've got a series order yet. No, they don't.
They're still make, but we have.
They're still working on the show. Yeah,
they're making the pilot either way.
And the suit just looks great.
Yeah,
I'm going to take a little stab here at our counterpart. Mike, if you're listening to this, tell me if I'm wrong. Now, somebody said this looks more like a better Black Bolt suit than Black Bolt suit does from the picture they showed. And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, you know what? I can't disagree with that. This looks pretty cool.
Well, I've never read much Black Lightning in the comics. Have you seen him much in the comics to know if this actually looks like what he looks like in the comics?
They got the lightning bolts there. He wears a mask, not the goggles. But this suit makes more sense. It's more tech-based, and as in the comic books, everyone just really gets a suit.
Yeah.
They don't really go into detail. And if they do go into detail, you're like, well, that suit doesn't make sense with the materials made out of.
Yeah.
This makes sense.
Okay.
So, I like it for live action. Even the goggles. Some people, I heard, complain about the goggles. But it's like, once again, if you have electricity, they're like, well, he doesn't have a mask. He has a goggle.
But it still obscures his face.
Exactly. So, it's like...
But really, it doesn't, since he's got a full beard and stuff.
And,
I mean...
And you know what I'm also noticing in this picture here?
But it does that as much.
Oh, okay. He also has some that, because his suit's blue and gold, or blue and yellow. And I see a little gold streak on the other side of his costume along with the blue.
That could be just some lightning on it.
It could be, but
it's a reflection from the lightning in his hand.
Mm. Well,
so, but it looks awesome.
The picture looks good.
Hopefully this actually, and more than likely, if Berlanti and them have gotten this far, they're going to get a series order out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I know, we don't know when it's going to come out or
but
where.
But isn't it funny how, like, a couple months ago, I think we were on, like, probably episode 20-something or 30, they said they're not putting any more shows on the CW. They got a wrap.
Well, no, what it was they're not looking for any new shows. But this one here kind of fell in their lap.
Okay.
Because remember, was it
yes,
Fox?
Right.
Fox CBS. Actually had them. Was it Fox or CBS that had
CBS,
them?
I think it was CBS that had this.
Start right. They paid for the script and then passed on it. I think it was Fox. Paid for the script and then passed on it. Since the script was already there, CW said, okay, well, we'll give you the money for a pilot.
Yeah.
So they didn't have to put as much money up.
And
what it is they have a proven track record with Greg Berlanti and Kreisberg.
Yep, and all the other ones.
So, yeah.
So from seeing that, I guess they liked the pilot?
they liked the script at least, because the pilot's not done yet. I think they're filming the pilot.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hopefully everything goes well, because I can't wait. We need a Black Lightning TV series.
Well, what it is they're slowly but surely, everybody keeps talking about diversity everywhere. Mm-hmm. Well, if you look across the shows of the DC Universe, they have that. Because Arrow is already a pretty diverse show.
Very.
But,
so it's Supergirl.
When you talk about their heroes, though, Flash is a white bread baby face in wrestling terms, but mm-hmm. He's your standard smart white guy.
And so, same for Ollie.
Supergirl Rich. Is a girl or a show that's based in his... a woman's show.
Yeah.
A woman-centric show, because that's where you get a lot of the main characters are women,
right.
Things like that. Legends is a total diverse
cast. That's just diverse.
Yeah, cast. This one here, they've already said, most of the actors in this show, it's going to be a black series.
African-American series, yeah. So,
they're spreading it around everywhere.
This just came in perfect. So, I think we're going to have a full family order right now.
That's right, probably.
I'm just wondering now, what... They haven't discussed the universe. Is this going to be in the Arrow? That,
if they're putting it on CW, it'll probably be part of the Arrow universe, even if it's one of the, like, Earth 27 or something.
That's what I'm wondering. Is it going to be on the same Earth? Is it going to be on
Earth? I would like to see it in the Flare universe. The Flare,
oh, yeah.
The Flash and Arrow.
Well, since we got Supergirl, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. And I'm like, this.
Well, so Supergirl is part of the same universe, just in a different world.
Now, I think they could also make him his own world. This is my idea. If they're not going to get Batman, a real perfect Batman.
Uh-huh. We already have Batman. His name's Arrow.
I always just do. He says that to me every time. He's like, we already got that. Why do you want another one?
Why do you think
one?
Half the villains are Batman villains?
Oh, man. See, once again, it's good to have someone else saying this.
Well, my thing was, since he had relations with the Outsiders, Batman really created the Outsiders. Mm-hmm. He could get more of a... We don't have to see him in the show, but we could definitely get a stronger Wayne Tech or Wayne Industries in his show.
Yeah.
If they were to put him in there, because we've seen Superman. We haven't seen anything in Diana, but...
But at this point, that's got to be a big okay from Warner Brothers.
Because
Warner Brothers has, for years, told him, nowhere, you can't touch Wayne, you can't touch Batman.
But they're doing that on Powerless.
Kinda. Powerless is its own thing.
But it's a lot more, too, than what we've seen previously. So that's why this one... I was thinking it'd be a good idea. We might not, but just a little.
Yeah. Like, you know, well, the thing with Powerless being a sitcom, they know it's not connected to anything else other than it's in the DC universe.
And it's really
so they can use whatever
show.
They want. It doesn't matter because it really doesn't affect
anything
any of
else on the shows.
And being a full-on sitcom, no one's going to confuse this with what's going on in the movies. What it is the Warner Brothers executives are thinking, well, people can't figure out. We're confused if you have more than one thing with the same name, which is weird. That means what are they going to do with Flash once they start making the Flash movie?
All I'm saying, guys, we seen what happened to Suicide Squad and Arrow. They stopped showing Suicide Squad on TV because of what's going on in the movie. So
I hope they don't do that to Flash. They shouldn't.
But if you look at the time, Ken, they might fit perfect. They may be done with that show by the time the movie comes out.
It's possible,
because
we
don't have a release date yet.
Yeah, by the time they get the movie made.
Yeah, so that could be, and they might hold the movie off until the season finale if they were. Or, heck, do what they did with Supergirl and have two Man of Steels. We have him in Justly. We just saw him in Batman vs. Superman.
Well, this is the first time they've ever actually... Well, no, it's the second time they've actually done this that I know of. Because when Smallville was going, they still did...
Of course,
they
had the Brandon Ralph Superman.
Superman Returns. But technically, they didn't have Superman on TV at that point. They had Clark Kent.
And technically, if you look at it this way, they had Superman on TV, but they didn't have Superman on the screen because he's dead.
Yeah, well...
I'm just saying, you know, so that's that might be a little loophole.
Warner Brothers will let them start doing some of these other things.
What if they did this? Get Grant Gustin out of the show for a little bit, let Wally take over, and then use Flash on...
No, you're shaking your head high, what?
Oh, y'all were just mentioning the old Superman movies. And
I enjoyed
the old Superman movies were great. The Superman Returns.
I liked all five of them myself.
See, me personally, I like one. See, once again, the Superman movies with Christopher Reeve, it went just like the
Michael Keaton. That was perfect.
It was like the first two, I liked. The first two for Batman, I liked. After that... I just didn't care for him.
For me, Brandon Routh was a fantastic Clark Kent and a great Superman. He didn't have a great script to work with.
And I think Kevin Spacey was a great Lex Luthor.
Yeah, the characters, the actors they had to play the characters were great. Now, Kate Bosworth as Lois was okay.
Yeah.
But what they did with the script...
They had
a
great Jimmy, too. I'll say that. They had a great Jimmy, which we don't see enough of right now. But the main thing that happened with that movie to me was it was at the wrong time. I feel like... The 2006
wrong
Superman
time,
was like
wrong script,
just wrong.
The
acting was dead on to what Superman was supposed to be. Yeah. I will say Brandon Routh's Superman was a lot closer than what I can't words right now. What's the guy's name? Henry Cavill's. That's a great Superman, but he's not your
the difference
ideal.
Is Henry Cavill, I believe, was basically the new 52.
He
Superman.
Was. That's what they based him off.
Yeah.
Of. And that's not the Superman fans.
That's not the one that people know.
We've seen what happened in Action Comics and the new and Rebirth.
Yeah.
No, that's not good. So I think after, in my opinion, once he comes out of the grave in Justice League.
Well, we're talking all this the movie news. We actually have some movie news too.
We went to a little speaking of movies.
Yeah. Most of these are just quick snippets.
Yeah.
One is you guys have by now everybody's seen this. Joss Whedon is supposedly, possibly, directing Batgirl.
Yeah.
A Batgirl movie. Now, this is the first time we've heard of an actual Batgirl movie being made.
Mm-hmm. And my cousin was geeking out about this when she first heard it. I first heard it, actually, from her. And I'm like, take it with a grain of salt. Because I heard it, and I'm just like, wait a minute. They're doing this already?
Yeah.
And with Joss Whedon from Marvel?
Joss Whedon is all over the place. And he said they put it out a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago, that he's willing to do a superhero DC comic book if the right one is given to him.
But the weird thing is, from him doing Avengers, a big-time Hollywood budget movie like this, doing Batgirl, not saying Batgirl's not deserving of this, but it was just kind of weird. That's like, I'm going to do a Justice League movie, and then I'm going to go to Marvel and make a Moon Knight movie. It's just like, whoa, that's a different lane.
Do you think he'll be effective in such a different setting?
He has no
setting?
Ken
says, what about you,
this
though?
Is the guy that made Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah. This
is the
guy. If you look at his television shows, Buffy, what was the one, not Dark Angel, but...
Angel?
Buffy and Angel. No. There's the other one that he made that had Eliza Dushku in it. Had like four seasons. It was basically a female-led show, also action show. Hmm. So he can do female-led action. That's
I'm
not a problem.
I'm gonna have to click on his link because my link is not doing well for me.
But you feel like he'll do well though. Huh?
Oh yeah,
I really think he'll do well too. They had a list of it on here. I'm trying to find of all the stuff he's done that's became critically a success or at
what's
least
his name?
Be a cult classic to some people. Joss Whedon, he's the one that did the Avengers movies.
Excuse my ignorance.
There it is, Dollhouse. Dollhouse is the other one I was talking about.
He's still learning. Oh, Dollhouse.
Yeah, I'm still learning.
Well, you think that the main list is right here:
Buffy, Angel, Firefly, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's still a producer on.
Wait, what was the one before Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Dollhouse. It was actually, it made it three or
Dollhouse.
Four seasons.
That makes me think of TNA, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And Angel, Firefly is a great show that shouldn't have been canceled, and fans will tell
Firefly,
you that right now.
If they had waited 7 years and put it on Sci-Fi Channel,
it would
still be on TV.
Firefly, the show, or the movie?
Both. They're both the same universe.
Oh, so you did both?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he did the Firefly TV series, 14 episodes, I think, and then it got canceled, but then they came back and did the Serenity movie.
And then, like we said, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that's its own name. We don't need to say no more about that.
Yeah.
Buffy and Angel were great shows back in the 90s. Yeah. Would that cross over to the early 2000s, too?
I believe so.
So this guy's had a career of making movies like this. And if, like you say, notice, he's great with female characters.
Yeah.
He's not one of those guys that's like, oh, I don't know, female, not female, female movie, and this is stereotypical female stuff. No, this guy...
No, Joss Whedon knows what he's doing. He knows, and he's a comic book fan.
Yes.
So I think he's going to do fine if he does step into this.
And like I said,
as long as Warner Brothers lets him do it.
Now, all I'm hoping is for them to do a crossover with the Batman films.
They'll have to.
The Nightwing film. That's in the works, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Being Batgirl, they have to have, at least it'll be mentioned and it'll be in the, now they may do it in Burnside, which is fine, but you'll at least have references to Batman and Nightwing and everybody else.
My fingers are crossed for Joss Whedon being on the set of Gotham Sirens.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is, the original story I saw for this said how Batgirl is the second female-led superhero movie coming from
DC.
What happened to... Well, Gotham Sirens isn't a superhero movie, but still, it's a female-led comic book
movie. But
it's
not I don't know if they meant solo female lead.
Yeah.
Because we had Batman film by himself, Superman by himself. We haven't had any female lead actually by herself to do this. The Gotham Sirens is a team, like Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
So, I guess it just didn't fit in that category. But I'm hoping he can be on that set, because I know... Batgirl should be a big part of the Gotham Sirens.
Probably, yeah.
She really should be. I know Batman's Batman, but to me, you need another... You have Batwoman or Batgirl coming here for a all-female cast, in my opinion, because we haven't had enough of that in these superhero movies.
Yeah, we need a Batgirl.
By the way, Joss Whedon wanted to work on a Black... this is Marvel, but he wanted to work on a Black Widow movie.
Yeah.
And I guess the studio
Marvel said they wanted to.
If they were going to do
He wanted to. They said no.
Yeah, they don't want him doing it, but Marvel does want to do a Black... With a movie, but they've not pointed when. It's somewhere in the 2020s.
And he said, I'm in
phase four or whatever.
Why at that point?
Yeah, I'm in 17. Man, I'm getting older. I got to check the year now.
it's just going by at this point.
We're talking about Gotham City Sirens, and you actually had that story up too, didn't you? We have a story out of Gotham City Sirens.
And if I can find it.
You can't. Can't find it.
You had it.
There we go.
There you go.
It's gone.
Now, I recognize the face here.
She played in Mad Men. This is Jessica Chastain, and she now I
well,
think
Jessica
she,
Chastain.
Thank you. I know some fans out there. Nico, for one, if you're listening to this, you're going to probably hit me.
now, what was she in? Now she looks like she's been rumored that she's been cast on playing Poison Ivy.
Right.
And from face and the red hair, she looks
and
like
figure.
A
I'll say that she is Poison Ivy.
And figure.
I said and figure. The thing.
I need my Poison Ivy, right? oh, my gosh. Poison Ivy is always... Oh.
Well, here you go, Ty. But the thing about this that really tells me she'll be a perfect cast with age, and I just try to throw her ages out there, but she is an older actress like Ben Affleck. And you know the funny thing about
That's fitting.
Ben Affleck is Batman. So why not cast her? Make this film more realistic.
Yeah, maybe she's been there for a while.
Because that would make me feel great as a fan. Like, oh, wow. Because that's the same thing as Man of Steel. I said that made me at first before I saw the film. I'm still like, Jesse, eh.
Well, what else
Jesse
has she
Eisenberg
been in?
Is the same age as Superman, Henry Cavill, and so is Jared Leto and Ben Affleck.
Let me see that Google search you did.
But what else has she been in?
Mad Men. That's the only one I know of. So.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Hold on.
Okay.
as we're doing Google search right now for time to see what I was getting at. Right.
So Jessica Chastain possibly to play Poison Ivy.
Wait, hold
I think
on.
It's
scroll,
been confirmed.
Scroll.
So right.
You want to take control here?
Yeah. Let me.
but the next one is actually one that's been around for a while.
Yeah, now this is sad news.
It's all still rumors, and no one's sure.
That's the one. That's the one that won me.
According to rumors, the big rumors out there, Joe Manganiello said himself that he's not sure if Deathstroke is actually still in the Batman movie or not.
Because of the script rewrite. He doesn't know. He's not saying it's a definite no. He just does not know. But
word from the new directors and producers and stuff said they've really not changed the script.
Right. That's what confused me. I'm thinking, you know, if you're not in the movie, I thought they didn't change it up to the point where it's brand new, but it's not. They wiped it clean. They still have the same ideas.
They were just tightening it up a little bit, as it sounded like.
From what it sounded like. But now from here, it sounds like they did rewrite the whole thing.
Huh.
So,
we're back to getting different stories from different sides.
Yeah, and I'm like, let's
remember,
let it happen.
We had a lot of that with Ben Affleck when they were talking about whether or not he's still going to be there or what's going to happen. You had totally different stories from totally different sources.
Bless you.
So
it's fine. But my thing is here, I feel like this is still in the better works than what Flash film is, but I'm still a little worried. But I'm not as worried because of who's working on it. So I have faith, but they just need to get some type of structure here. Once we get our structure, we'll be in the clear. But all these rumors, too.
It sounds like Warner Brothers, and we've been saying this for a while, Warner Brothers is spinning their heels trying to figure out what's going to stick.
Yeah.
Throwing out all kinds of stuff, hoping that something's going to work.
It sounds like WrestleMania.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that works tomorrow night.
Yeah. Okay, this ad is not going away here.
The next one is actually another rumor, but rumor has it that David Goyer, which wrote Batman versus, he was one of the writers on Batman v Superman, wasn't he?
Yeah.
We've talked about David Goyer on here before.
Oh, we've had some bad talks about David Goyer here.
Supposedly he's been, he did Batman v Superman, he did Man of Steel, but he's quite possibly being looked at to write and direct either the Green Lantern Corps movie or Suicide Squad 2. I don't know if it's his option or what.
It,
yeah.
Green Lantern Corps.
I'm still stuck on what he said. I'm sorry. That still bothers me. He left a bad taste in my mouth.
Well, David Goyer has. Well, that's because he made some comments about Martian Manhunter.
Not just Martian Manhunter.
What did he say?
Oh, I told you. Well, I can say it. I'll say it again.
He
thinks She-Hulk and Hulk are F buddies because they have.
Wait, whoa.
Exactly.
Rewind this.
Exactly. This is coming from the guy. I think he was trying to be funny,
Hulk?
But that's one of those things.
And Jessica?
You don't say that. You just don't say
Hulk
that.
Hulk and Jessica?
Yes. Oh, and Martian Manhunter is the stupidest character ever because, you know, he has all these powers, but he still wants to be a detective. It's like, have you not read?
Who said that?
Him.
What?
David Goyer. Yeah, he has no. That's why he said straight up that you're not going to see it in any of these new movies because there's the. Why? It's just a terrible character.
I'm confused. And he's.
Yes.
He's about to. He's directed Man of Steel.
No, he wrote it.
He wrote Man of Steel. And what?
And it was one of the writers on Dawn of Justice.
He's a.
Dawn of Justice. I mean.
He's done.
Read that, I was like.
Yeah, and like I said, the real cut of Dawn of Justice. Was not bad. Movie, not... So he's good with writing. It's just the fact I get worried when I hear his name, because, like, this guy
really
doesn't...
Why are they F-buddies?
Because
that's
they
just
both
in
have
brain,
Hulk.
Yeah.
She-Hulk.
Oh, he wants them to be F-buddies.
He was making a joke. He was literally making a joke. And it was like, you don't do that. And then he said also something about the nerd... Oh. Did he say something like, Hulk was a nerd, so he couldn't get a girl... Oh. The reason why he made Hulk so big, because all the other nerds couldn't bulk up anyway, so here's a... You know.
I don't know. It sounds like he's trying to troll me right now.
It did, but it was a troll. It was the kind of troll thing you don't say. If you're not a comic book writer or nothing, you don't know. You know you're supposed to know your material. I never heard anybody. Stan Lee's never even joked that way. And Stan Lee even called that guy an idiot. That's my thing with David Goyer. Let's get back on track here.
We have a quote in the Collider article here from Jeff Snyder, who was talking on the Meet the Movie Press podcast. He says, I'm hearing David Goyer could very well wind up directing Green Lantern Corps himself. When you look at screenwriters that are taking the plunge and directing these movies themselves, we saw rumors last month that Simon Kinberg was going to direct the next X-Men movie. David Goyer is actually responsible for the entire DC Universe right now. He wrote Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. He wrote Man of Steel, and he's the architect,
He is.
He is writing and producing the Green Lantern Corps, so it's just very well what I have heard. One of those situations where he could be like, "Listen, I think I may be the best guy for the job. Nobody knows this like I do." Now, if you look at the movies that they just talked about that Goyer's done. Now, we talked about Man of Steel,
good.
Batman Begins, Dark Knight,
good.
And he was
part of Dawn of Justice, the problem
like
is,
I said, it was,
look at the tones of those movies. These are dark, serious movies. Green Lantern, you can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
That's like, that would be like saying, let's have Tim Burton do...
If they did the Blackest Night, sorry. If they did the Blackest Night, he'd be perfect.
Yeah, but not an actual origin type thing in a...
are they doing the origin for it?
No. What it is they're writing it as a buddy cop movie, a Lethal Weapon style in
space. Hal Jordan and John Stewart.
And it's an origin for John Stewart.
Right. Hal already established, which I think is perfect because fans... I mean, I was one of the people that was weighing in on, like, he's an African-American hero, and we need a character in there, but we need order. Put Hal Jordan there first, then have him whatever, and have John Stewart take over. But they said, you know what? We can't figure out if we want Hal or John. Put both of them in the movie. That's a great idea, and that'll take
fine
that.
Fine by me.
Fine
by me.
So that's what's supposed to be happening, but we don't know what the way these scripts are being rewritten all the time. But that's what we got for the news, really.
Yeah, that's pretty much all the news for today.
Yeah.
So, and like I said, next week we're going to have a WonderCon wrap-up and have everything that happened at WonderCon on next week's show. So, any news or anything that comes out of that.
So that brings us to comic book reviews.
And this week's reviews are from March 22nd, 2017. And you're starting off with Action Comics 976. And
now I'm trying to get this name before I make a fool of myself. Mix Yes Pitlick.
Yeah,
so close. Yeah, so close.
Nah, Mr. Mixie.
Bro. You should have done better.
It's Mr.
We practiced that enough.
I was saying his name literally wrong since I was a kid. So I got lied to. The TV show said his name wrong, so that's not my fault.
Hey, this is the DC Mixie Comics TV podcast. We should be getting this right.
Mixie. He's going by Mixie for this, guys. We all know who we're talking about.
No, this is this. He's been the surprise in this whole Superman Reborn story.
Yeah.
I expected a lot more of Mr. Oz.
I did too, but...
But we've not seen very much of it all.
I really think this guy's been watching.
But this whole story arc has been a Mixie's Pitlick story.
It has. And, I mean, really, that's been helping since Rebirth. We've seen Mr. Mixie. Not going to get me. We've seen Mixie.
I was hoping you'd take another
seen
shot
Mixie,
at it.
As Clark Kent throughout
Rebirth.
Who is this extra Clark Kent on this world?
Yeah.
But in this story, we kind of, it ends. But then we go into another part of Superman's reality, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah, we saw in the last issue of Superman that it's weird, like, the Superman became an amalgam of the New 52 Superman and our Superman, but he's wearing the terrible New 52 costume. I have never been a fan of the turtleneck costume that he had.
Wasn't a fan of the New 52 in general,
But the whole costume just didn't feel right. It's almost too military.
Barely anyone's costume.
But let's move on.
Let's move on from New 52. Yeah, we're in Rebirth. So he gets his parents back, which he thinks John does from Mixie, and he's telling him, it's funny you did that, kid. You got them here, but they're still not really your family because they don't remember who you are. And he said, you lied to me. You told me if I got them out, we would all be a family again. And he said, yes, I did tell you that, but you were supposed to pick the right ones. So, really, he's still playing a game as he always does.
Yeah.
But Superman being Superman, he still is going to go after the bad guy. The thing in here is, the New 52 Superman right here still feels more like Superman. Lois Lane, and I had to think about this, Lois Lane really didn't have a big part in New 52 at all. In this book, it's like, oh yeah, me and Clark we're not dating. Superman, we're not dating. That was all Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And that was the problem I had with that, too.
That was a lot of people's problem with this, is that Superman and Wonder Woman are not supposed to be together.
So Lois is really dumbfounded. She really has barely anything to say in these panels, because, like, they didn't use me for a New 52. I don't know who you are, kid. I've never dated. I'm not in the relationship with Superman. I'm not anywhere near Clark. So Clark's like, okay, you're screwing up this kid's life. He grabs Mixie by the throat, and he's threatening him, and he's like, whoa, take it. Slow your roll. He turns back into Clark Kent, and he says basically how you don't appreciate him enough.
Well, Mixie turns back into Clark.
What did I say?
Just said he turns into Clark.
Yeah.
See? He had that to not be... I'm just playing not so bespoken. but Mixie turns back into Clark.
Wrong universe.
Yeah.
He who shall not be named.
Well, he says he's done playing his game. They're all really done playing his game, and he's threatening Mixie to take back everything and put everybody back to normal, because he even knows something's wrong here. Lois knows something wrong here. She's telling him once again, kid, get off me, stop hugging me, we've never been married, I'm not your mother, I don't know who you are. So Mixie just gets big, starts terrorizing stuff, and he says he still wants to play more games. If Superman wants to get physical, he can definitely get physical. So he knocks Supes off the building, and John sees this as a bad thing, but then also in the contract he has here, it says he promised to send him home if, let me read this. You were promised to go back home if you got to the top of the building, which, cough, cough, he did. So, what's the problem here? Why is he back home?
Yeah, but Mixie says they cheated.
And then this is when Superman rips up the list and is like, you know what, screw your list. Send us back home. Fix this.
Just rip up the list.
And then they start fighting. Now as this is happening, you start seeing these blue orbs now coming to John, just like the red orbs did for the New 52 Superman and the New 52 Lois Lane. And these voices sound a little bit different. They're a brighter color, and their voices have changed. So he's like, let's think about this. This is where I'm like, okay, this is his real parents. They're telling John, and they're like, listen to him. And this is when they start, he touches them, and he's saying, they're asking to help them, and they start going back over to the New 52, Lois and Clark, and they basically really fuse together, and they make what they should be all along, the Rebirth, Lois Lane and Clark Kent. And that's when they break the spell, and everything's fixed, and this is what Mixie actually told them, and they didn't cheat this time, never cheated in the first place. But this is where John made his mistake. I guess he got the wrong orb. It wasn't so much getting just the wrong orb. He had both of them, but they were not together. Once he puts them together, we get a new
suit.
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. What do we got?
Oh, this.
Mr. Oz.
I was going to get that at the very, very end because he comes back, too. Yeah, Mr. Oz is back, and he's saying how he didn't think they could repair what was broken, and he's the only one. He didn't think that Superman could do either. But now this is happening, and they are one. They are the New 52 Superman and the Rebirth Superman. Well, this isn't really the Rebirth Superman. This is the Superman from which Earth?
The original Superman.
And the New 52 Superman becoming...
The pre-Flashpoint Superman and the post-Flashpoint Superman becoming one.
Becoming the actual Rebirth Superman. Yeah. This is a Rebirth completely of Superman.
Yeah, this is totally rebuilding the character that he's got both the memories and the life of the original Superman and the new Superman together... To actually create the one true Superman.
And I think this also would start off with the Swamp Thing. Remember, he told him, like, something's wrong with
something,
you.
You're
something's
not supposed
just
to be
not
here.
Right.
This has been... They've been working on this for, like, the last year.
Yeah, that has been a big part of Rebirth. Mm-hmm. And we go through his past in these panels, and we're noticing the death of Superman, the birth of Superman, him being sent to Earth, him having John, his rogues gallery.
Well, the pre Flashpoint stuff... Yeah, that's Bizarro.
That's Brainiac.
Or that's Brainiac. But all the pre-New or Flashpoint things, there's references in the other books for this week also. Which once we get to Hal Jordan, we'll see there's references to the pre-Flashpoint in there too. Showing that this world is actually the original world.
Yep.
Flashpoint, what happened with the New 52 was a kind of an off... I think they're treating it as it was like an offshoot.
They were.
And now we're back into the original timeline again.
Yeah, they had to get everybody's individual stories together.
Yeah, they're still working on that, though.
But with all this, we get a new costume of
Superman. And the new costume is perfect. And this is what I'm a stickler. I'd like to see the red trunks. But
I'm
without,
so okay
without
with
the red trunks, it looks beautiful.
I would be yellow on this one. I
the
prefer
trunks,
without the trunks.
Yeah, but that was me for like every single superhero. It was like, why are the trunks on the outside?
Yeah.
But, this looks like a like Ken said, this is the
You're
perfect...
You're a wrestling fan, and you have a problem with trunks on the outside?
That's why I'm good with them wearing jeans. You see Dean Ambrose? You seen Baron Corbin? But, so now everything's back to normal. Mixie's gone, and they can be one big happy family.
Wait. Is Superboy flying?
No, in here it says, you want to see me leap building in one single bound? So he's still jumping.
Okay.
Jumping good. Samurai Jack taught me you can
jump
and look like you're flying.
Jump good.
I jump good. But now we get back to Oz. And his name's Oz. This has to be Ozymandias. Like, this,
I don't
this
know,
has
yeah.
to be.
Well, Mr. Oz has been around in the DC Universe for a while, off and on a little bit.
He has.
So that they may be retconning that that's who it has been all the time. We don't know.
And since we're doing the whole thing with Dr. Manhattan. And the comedian's sign, which Rorschach wore throughout the whole Watchmen comic and movie. But right now, he didn't wear it, but that's who really represented. But he's looking at this, and he's saying the family that he's done the impossible. He's proven that he's found true love. He can conquer all, and he can force them all to connect. But as he's still going through here in space, he's saying that, is it over? Is there more to come? Considering what has happened and all this force behind it, is Superman who they say he finally is? Who is his final say, or is it him? And who is him? We have no idea.
Yeah. So that, and then the new world is the next issue.
Yep.
So
it's going to keep continuing.
Yes. And the next one we have is actually, grab your copy of this also, because we have both covers.
We do.
Flash number 19. I ended up getting the variant cover without knowing
the original. I didn't even know they had a variant at that time with that
one.
But they took it.
The Flash is finishing up the Sins of the Father story, which is basically Flash and Kid Flash with Captain Boomerang in Australia have been caught by, what were they called? The Weavers gang or something like that? And it's basically a spider-themed gang in the Outback selling weapons. So they're just fighting back and forth, talking. The main important part of this is the very end of this book. But they're fighting, they've all been caught by the Weavers because they're still trying to find out what happened to Wally's dad. The Reverse Flash.
The one from the New 52.
The New 52 Reverse Flash actually is Wally's dad. We knew, they followed him, Iron Heights, he was transferred from Iron Heights, remember, to Bell Rev. And according to Amanda Wallace, he was never there.
Yeah.
So they went to find Digger to have Captain Boomerang tell him what actually happened.
Since he was a part of the team.
So, but as they find Boomerang, they got captured by this Weaver gang. Well, they're tied up to posts, and it looks like the webbing that they use to tie them up vibrates at his own frequency, supposedly.
So
the Flash can't figure out what frequency that is to be able to phase through it. So they're sitting there, and the Boomerang comes up with an idea. Says, "Hey,
of
wait!
Of course he does.
You guys are shooting weapons. How about if you could actually
put a bullet in the head of the Flash?
Kill the Flash with one of your guns? How much would that sell? How well would that sell to who you're trying to sell to? They're like, oh, sounds like a good idea. So they let Flash and Boomerang out to run around while they're trying to shoot him, but they keep Kid Flash as a hostage so that the Flash won't take off.
And this brought back to what you were telling me about the previous Wally. This Wally
yes.
did the same thing.
Well, back in the 90s when I first started watching Flash, the Wally West had a problem with vibrating through things.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he'd vibrate through something, it would explode.
Kabooey!
If I remember right, wasn't that what he was doing in at the beginning? No. They never actually used that in the Flash TV series.
No, not yet. Because when he vibrated, it was like perfectly okay.
And he figured out how to. Yeah, he figured out how to actually vibrate
up something.
But Wally in this one, he finally says, "You know what? When I learned how to vibrate, I can never go through anything, and everything blows up." So he actually blows up his restraints
And knocks out the henchman.
Exactly. So Flash and Captain Boomerang actually get rounded up by these guys, and they think Wally's still a prisoner. And at this point, Wally comes through with one of Captain Boomerang's boomerangs. And basically destroys all the weapons, and he finds out how fun it is to throw a boomerang.
Yeah, and then that's when Boomerang says, "You got one cocky kid you're working with now," because he's saying, "That's all you do is throw boomerangs?"
Yeah.
That's really easy.
But, so they take out the whole gang, and all of a sudden, Waller's guys show up to pick him up.
Mm-hmm.
So they find out this was a whole setup with Boomerang. Boomerang was actually out here on assignment the whole time.
You know, the squad came first.
Exactly. So Flash tells Boomerang, "Hey, we're looking for information on..." What was his name?
Daniel West.
We're looking for the information on Daniel West. He's like, "And since we saved you, you owe us one." And Boomerang's like, "Wait a minute. The way I see it, I saved you guys by coming up with that whole plan."
And that's when Wally tells him, "Hey, enough of the crap. He was my dad. I need to know about him." And that's when Boomerang gets a heart.
Yeah, and he tugs on Boomerang's heartstrings, which we've seen with him and other Suicide Squad members.
Hard to do.
Yeah.
Well, with him and other Suicide Squad members, their heartstrings are getting a little easier to tug on
as
they're working
heroes,
more
really.
Hero stuff.
Yeah.
So they find out that actually, and if this all happens in Suicide Squad Annual number 1, is that the one that came out this week?
Yes.
Okay, I forgot to pick that one up. But, so I'll have to go back and get it.
I read the story of this one, though.
Okay, but he actually dies in Suicide Squad number 1. So once you guys, when we get to that one, we'll have to review that book.
Mm-hmm.
So they find out, and Digger is not happy about telling him this, but saying, "You know what? This is actually what happened." So Wally takes off because he just found out the guy that basically never told him he was his dad, but it was always in his life, is dead. He's never going to get any answers.
Yep.
So Barry chases after him and catches Wally, and Wally's like, "You can never understand what's going on. Why I always wanted to get answers about my dad. Now he's dead. There's nothing I can do here." And Barry's like, "I do understand." He's like, "Well, how can you know this?" And he finally reveals his identity to Kid Flash.
And
fills him in on his entire story.
And he gives him one big hug while he does. Because, all this time, it's been you. All the people in my life that have been close to me still do keep lies from me.
Exactly. And but he gives Kid Flash the entire story of Barry Allen, and including the Flash side of it.
Mm-hmm.
With Eobard Thawne and having killed Wally's mom and all these other things. And but Wally asks him straight up, "Have you told Iris?"
Yeah, and he's like, "Not yet."
And that kind of
it kind of disappoints Wally. He's like, so you're still lying to everybody.
Mm-hmm. He says, he straight up tells him you're a liar.
Exactly. If we're keeping all this stuff from Aunt Iris, I can't really trust you either, because until you tell her, you're going to be just like my dad, just doing nothing but lying to me.
Exactly.
And he really, that's all that happened with their conversation. He runs off and he says, Barry, I know you're always chasing after me or trying to talk to me, but this time just let me be alone. Let me just run off.
Yeah. But the big reveal from this episode, or this book, is we get back to Iron Heights, and we find, we're zooming, going in, and we see,
zooming.
Yeah, well, we see a big door that says Eobard Thawn, and we see a guy locked into this suit that, with his eyes are the only things you can see. This lightning smashes through and smashes everything, and then all of a sudden, you see Eobard Thawn standing up there by, on it with his Reverse Flash costume on. And the interesting thing is, he remembers Flashpoint.
Everything.
Because what he says, it says, I remember the Batman, Thomas Wayne, killed me in the Flashpoint. I should teach his son a lesson.
And that means he's going to have to go to Bruce Wayne's house then.
Well, that's going to set up. Remember, the next two issues of Batman and the next two issues of Flash cross over together in the comedians or the Button storyline. All about the button that was found
and
in the wall
during
Flashpoint.
And where did this button come from? I don't know why I'm so hyped for this. I'm trying to find like the actual article for it, but I can't see it. But I feel like we're not going to get anything from this, really. We're going to get, like, maybe two little hints of what's going to happen.
It's going to start getting us in the right direction. So
that was that.
The next one is one I know you've been waiting for a long... many people have been waiting for this one.
Aqualad's back, guys. This is Aqualad Jason Hyde from the Teen Titans that came out.
Is that his name, Jason Hyde?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is Black Manta's son. He came about, I want to say, like 2005, 2006. I've been a fan of him. He was like the first black Aqualad, and he had the dreads, and he had the wall. He just looked so cool.
Anybody who's not been reading comics, this is the Aqualad from Young Justice.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's the thing I was going to say. Before, he just had his tattoos on his arm, which are actually his birthmarks. Same costume, nothing different, but he still has his black dreadlocks. But in here, he has black dreadlocks, if I'm correct, during Rebirth when it first all came out, but I guess he probably chopped them off and dyed his hair blonde.
Well, they actually mentioned that in the book,
like,
too. His mom talks about it in the book, too.
Yeah,
about
the new
hair,
the new love life and all this. So, I wish I could have seen him just cutting it off like I'm now reborn. But in this book, we're at the Teen Titan headquarters. Oh, I'm sorry, getting a little far myself.
Yeah,
first
Titans
page was, they're at the San Francisco jail cell. And
yeah, the Del Sur Penitentiary.
And it's by the ocean, and somebody broke out of here.
Well, there's a lot of people that broke out.
But it's got a hole in the wall of somebody by the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a sheer drop outside this hole in the wall, and it goes straight into the rocks in the ocean.
And no one really could survive that if they were normal.
But we find out on the next page that, it says how many people escaped. Over 50 prisoners escaped from maximum security in that jailbreak.
And 400% in attacks, so. Oof.
And it also mentions that shark attacks in the bay are up almost nearly 400%.
Mm-hmm. Shark attack. That should gave me my hint right there.
Yeah.
You don't know. How? How?
How? have you read the book yet?
Nah.
Oh, then you'll see when we get there.
But this is Garth or Beast Boy. and Damian Wayne, they're out there, they're talking about how he keeps calling Damian. Yeah. Damian keeps calling them by their code names. He's like Beast Boy, Raven, Starfire, da da da. He's like, dude, we're friends. Why can't you just say by a real name? Because I'm professional.
Well, also, they don't know Damian's last name.
No.
In this. Because he asks, what is your name anyway? Damian Luther, Damian Beelzebub. They don't know his last name.
Try and keep going. They would get to it.
Yeah.
Wayne.
And then there's a reason he's paying for the watchtower and all the equipment. And
yeah, there's a way, too.
But no. Don't skip past this. This is awesome. I thought this was fantastic.
I like this. It's funny, but it wasn't that important to me.
Beast Boy, no, it's just real. It's just funny because it's cool. Beast Boy's asking him, well, what are you doing standing out here on the rocks? And Damian says, I'm playing. And Beast Boy has no, what are you talking about? You're playing, standing out here on the rocks, watching the news. And at which point, Goliath comes flying up out of the water, and then... It drops this log in front of Damian.
That's his
Damian says, I'm playing fetch.
And he licks Beast Boy like, oh, I love you too. And he's just like, man, when are you going to get rid of that thing?
I want a pet bat like that. Bat beast thingy.
And now this is happening. We see a poor little sea lion
disappears in
dinner.
A little, yeah.
No, he's
just a pool. Wow.
It's a pool of blood.
Under in a pool
just
of blood.
Blood.
Yeah. Man. It's like something from Jaws.
Aw.
And then we get to see a classic Beast Boy move. He gets to make dinner. So he makes his famous tofu platter.
And everyone's like, oh, this is disgusting. Why are we making this?
No one likes it. Yeah.
No one.
Well, can't blame him.
Well, Kid Flash decides, you know what?
I can run fast.
He runs to Central City and picks up some pies.
Yep.
Even a vegetarian one for Beast Boy. Awesome.
And Beast Boy's still like, you know what? I'm eating my meal. And just as they're getting ready to eat, they get a distress call, and it's like, there's a perimeter breach. And they get all their missiles out, but it turns out it's just the news.
Yeah, it's a news crew.
And Beast Boy was the only one that was informed to actually tell them news is coming here, but I forgot.
Yeah, he invited them.
Of course Beast Boy forgot. So he's showing them around. Flash finished fixing up the ship in like less than 3 seconds. Raven's really dark, tells them to glow away, of course. And then Beast Boy describes Starfire, this hot babe right here. And then
she's a smoking hot babe.
Smoking. And then this is when Starfire says, I don't think babies should be smoking in the slightest.
Speaking of smoking hot babe, hold on, I'm about to go to that one tab again.
As he pulls it up anyway. But now we're back to New Mexico, and this has always been where he's lived.
Well, no. We got, you mentioned everybody else. We get to see Damien.
Now this was weird for me to see Damien doing this. He's being a teenager. He's actually playing a zombie video game.
Yeah. Well, he plays video games. They've done that on the Batman comics also. Remember, he and Dick Grayson used to go to the arcade. But he says, well, I really don't... Beast Boy says, talking about Robin, I really don't know who this guy is. He just follows around. He has no powers. Pretty pathetic. At which point, Robin says, interview over.
Yep. Just as you should. Now we get back to New Mexico where...
Jason Jackson.
I was close. It's been a while.
Yes.
This is where his mom comes in the room and says...
Well, he's playing with the water... Now, if you've seen Young Justice or anything else, the way he manipulates water... Well, he's playing with the water in the
playing with the fish, but to play with the fish, you gotta play with the water.
That's right.
So he's manipulating the water like a waterbender from Avatar. So his mom's telling him, why are you doing all this? You can't just be... really just be normal. He's got these birthmarks, people are things, tattoos, he's dyed his hair, he's changed his love life, and he's saying, well, Mom, I'm just trying to be me, I always wanted to be me, instead of just being different. And she says she's been trying to keep him safe. That's all she's been really trying to do.
And see, when she mentioned there, and boys, I didn't pick that up right away.
I did. That's why I say it's new love life.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know, if you haven't read Rebirth, Jackson Hayes came out as a homosexual. He's a... Is he bi or homosexual? He's homosexual. I might be wrong, but in the previous Teen Titans comics, where I don't have every single one, but from ones I did have, he never had a preference. They never said he liked females or males. Yeah. So when I seen this, it was like, he never had one anyway.
Okay.
Now, I might be wrong. If you guys hear this, let me know. Maybe change it for Rebirth, but I don't think they did. Now we get back to San Francisco with the Titans, and... the newscaster's going away, and Beast Boy's bragging and everything.
Well, he's apologizing for Robin and saying how he's grumpy. You gotta kind of just accept that's Robin.
Still bragging about himself, like, I don't want to be modest. But Bonnie gets sucked into the ocean.
Yeah, as he's talking, out of nowhere, she's dragged into the ocean.
And this is when we go back to New Mexico, and this is where Jackson is with... I don't think this is his boyfriend.
No, it's his boyfriend, I think.
The way they're acting, it didn't seem like he was too friendly about it.
Oh, that's the guy?
And that's the guy. He's just like a normal trucker, doesn't he? I think he'd do better. But this is a long conversation, but really, to sum this up, he's not even okay with him having these powers. He thinks he's really weird.
He could do better.
Kind of like a freak, really.
Well, he shows off his powers to his boyfriend, and the guy kind of flips out and says, I got to go home.
And here's the other thing, too. His dad doesn't know he's gay either.
Yeah.
So if he finds out that he's dating... a guy, and he has these metahuman powers, that's going to be like, oh, no, son, you can't do this.
Well, no, the kid describes his dad, where is it? His dad's a good old boy with big belt buckle, the American flag, bumper sticker, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now, imagine what he would feel like, find out if his,
he finds out
his son's gay, his son's boyfriend is a black kid with metahuman powers.
That's three strikes. That's not going to fly with him. So he's like, you know what? I'm just gone. We're done here. Bye.
For the better.
For the better. And you didn't need him anyway. So they go back to Titan Tower. And this is when he starts thinking, maybe I can find some peace somewhere with a certain team. And he starts getting this idea. But now, underneath Titan...
This is over in Alcatraz.
Okay, I was looking at that like, wait a minute, I'm a little
Yeah, next we switch up to Alcatraz, we see there's actually an underwater entrance to Alcatraz.
And this thing's like flooded too. Prison cells almost.
The prisoner, or the reporter, has actually been placed in a cell... underneath Alcatraz, it's about half flooded.
And this is where we start hearing the thought process of Aqualad. He says he's always felt like a prisoner, felt by himself. He's always wanted to understand why he's like this. His mother doesn't understand. No one else really knows. And she won't even tell him about his father, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, he doesn't know anything about his father.
Which
anybody else who knows comic books at this point knows this character, knows who his father is.
Yeah.
There's a reason his mother has never said who his father is.
Yeah.
So he doesn't know why he has these markings or why he's got the metahuman powers or anything else.
Like, hey, I can breathe underwater. It's all new to him still.
Well, he's living in New Mexico. He may not even know that he can breathe underwater.
Or why he's just a savage. So he's driving out to Titan Tower in San Francisco. Like, maybe I can find something new here. And now, as the Titans are on Alcatraz Island, Beast Boy's bait now. He's his own little sea lion.
He's a little sea lion out there. Yeah, looking
for the reporter. He got like the last one, though.
Well, he's looking for the reporter. They say the Coast Guard is out hunting also. They have, Damien has one of the bat boats out there. And Firestar is actually circling the bay looking around for her also. Everybody's looking for this reporter. And as Beast Boy's swimming underwater, he sees there's something that comes flying past underneath him. Has no idea what that is. And then he says, oh, no, guys. And as they do, King Shark comes breaking through the boat.
Oh, snaps.
Yep. So that's why we had all those shark attacks.
No, I don't want to see it.
And, of course, Beast Boy comes up with it. We're going to need a bigger boat. So this looks like King Shark's in, and Aqualad's going to be joining the team, which is the perfect time when they're facing King Shark.
Yeah.
So the last one we have, and this one was awesome because it makes my heart feel warm. Because
we finally got our main
Green Lantern of all time.
And back in costume that he should have been in.
Yes. So, this is Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern Corps number 17. I don't know if you guys can see it on the camera. And we start off with the aftermath of Guy Gardner and Arcrillo's fight. Now, neither one of them came out of this unscathed. They got beat down by each other. We're back on Mogo in the science cells. All the Yellow Lanterns are talking about how when we break out, Arcrillo's going to come get us and get us out of here, and we're going to go on the rampage and destroy all the Green Lanterns. As John and Sornak bring Arcrillo in on a stretcher.
Yeah, this dude is like halfway dead. Seriously, his eyeball is also on the bed too, because that's not attached anymore.
Oh, that is? I didn't even see that in the picture. They got his eyeball sitting there?
I thought they did. Maybe I'm wrong.
No,
I didn't see it.
They have his eye taped shut.
That's what it is.
But they stick him in a science cell.
Oh, there it is.
And
you can see the hole right there. That's the thing.
Notice the empty tooth socket there, too.
Man, that...
Well, Sornak has stabilized his condition. He's, and so they've told Vox, which is the... Vaz, which is the guard, that he's stabilized. He should be okay. If anything happens, let me know. In the Sornak, they're talking about all the ones that are in prison said it's a lie. There's no way that Arcrillo's down. Sornak comes and tells them straight up, he's been taken down. Now you guys can get out of here if you promise to work with the Green Lanterns and we'll police the galaxy together. Then we switch over to the infirmary and find Guy Gardner, who's pretty
Beaten
much
up.
Done.
Yeah, but he's alive.
But you have Guy Gardner with Hal Jordan, Kyle Rayner, and John Stewart all just hanging out.
The four Green Lanterns are
awesome.
Back together.
Yeah, the four Earth Green Lanterns working together.
Like I said, I gotta show you my collection upstairs. Can you like it?
But we get John tells everybody, okay, he needs his rest. You guys have work to do. But he stays behind when Hal and Kyle leave. And John gives him a little bit of a talking to. He's like, dude, you are the dumbest guy I know. Don't take your ring to fight the toughest guy in the galaxy.
He calls him, you're just one crazy SOB.
Yes.
But he gives him a souvenir.
But they picked up a souvenir from the fight. They find Arcrillo's missing fang.
Yeah, this isn't just
I know you,
wanna,
long you want to...
Long as his head.
Yes. Which is good later in the book. Then we get over to
Hal and Kyle.
Flying around. And Hal talks about how, well, my job is done. I can go... But you still have work to do. And he opens up to Kyle and says, you know what? I'll tell you something I've never told anyone, which is cool. Mm-hmm. He says, you are the greatest lantern ever. Now, don't get it wrong. When it comes to being a Green Lantern, I'm the guy.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm the greatest Green Lantern ever. I actually forged a ring from my own willpower.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to an overall lantern that could... You're the only man who's ever been able to actually master all of the emotional spectrum. And be able to wield every ring all at once. That's why he's the White Lantern.
Yep.
So, but Sayid and Ganthet have a job for you. So Hal takes off to, back to the barracks, basically, to get the next job. And
Kyle sees the... they've made, like, a pedestal type thing for Ganthet and Saya to be in. So he's taking off over there. Next, we get to Space Cabbie is actually talking to John and...
Still, he's
Sarnak.
Still there, was surprising.
He's like, okay, well, I still need my payment here. I need my, immunity.
Yeah.
So they give him his immunity and tell him, keep your nose clean, because...
Which he's not.
Well, John tells him straight up, stay clean, because my leniency only goes so far.
Yep, and John is one of the few Green Lanterns. When he makes a threat, you... Yeah. You don't want to
But Space, Space Cabbie decides, okay, well, I'll keep my eyes and ears open. If I hear anything else, I'll let you know. Which we switch over to, we find out Cabbie, or John talks about how Cabbie was useful, but they're still looking for Romat Rue, which is the next one on the list of the...
Tumar Two Roma.
Of the dangerous Yellow Lanterns. They picked up, got almost all of them off the list. Then you see Tumar Two had a report saying that there was no sign of Romat Rue. But they show a picture of Tomar 2. Everybody from that planet.
Their names sound
like
very
that.
Similar, yeah.
But he's holding a yellow lantern ring with blood on it. And he tells his partner, if you know what's better, you'll keep your metal mouth shut. So it looks like he actually killed Romat Rue.
Mm-hmm.
But he's holding onto the ring so it can't find a new owner.
Yep.
So no one knows.
Yeah.
And he says, and John says, well... Since Tomar 2's report says there's no sign of him, we have to find this guy because he's actually a serial killer.
Yeah, so he's not letting any serial killer go underneath his
That's
eye.
Right. Well, next we go back to Kyle Rayner, and he's talking to Ganthet and Sayid, and talking about, they're telling him about being a White Lantern, how he is life. He's
everything.
He's the only one that was able to actually reconstitute Hal Jordan when he was stuck in the emotional spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Which I thought that was him actually bringing him back from the dead.
Well, what I was saying about the pre-Flashpoint was this story goes back to when Kyle was the only Lantern back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And how Ganthet had given him the ring and said, you're the only one that can keep the green light going.
He had to be the new torchbearer for them.
Exactly. That's why he was the torchbearer, because he was the only one with the green ring. Now, this, like I said, this shows that the current universe still has the history from the original.
Mm-hmm. Which is good.
Exactly. So, they're talking about how you may be able to actually bring life back from the dead.
Well, she should be able to.
Possibly. At which point they bring in, Blue Lantern.
Saint Walker.
And Kyle asks, well, Saint Walker, what's going on here? He says, and Saint Walker says, Hope, the universe needs the blue light now more than ever. I need my friends. And at this point, they're all dead.
Yeah, so.
So, what it is, Saint Walker grabs Kyle's hands, puts them on either side of his head, and somehow they do this weird meld thing.
And lightning from the
white,
sky.
Yeah, the white energy explodes off of both of them.
And everybody else thinks this is a storm coming, but it's not. Well, it could be, just not the way they're thinking.
Possibly. But then we kick back to the science cells, and we find Guy Gardner going to the Acrylo cell and talking to a half-dead Acrylo and talking about how no one else can ever understand this, but what the two of us had. But
he can't wait one day.
Yeah, he can't wait for them to beat bad guys up together. He wants Arcrillo is the guy he wants to be his partner.
Mm-hmm.
The two baddest dudes in the universe working together.
That's
what his plan is.
That's really scary. And they don't listen to orders all the time. That's actually really a bad idea.
Yeah. Can you imagine the two of them working together?
I could. That's why I said it would be a bad idea. I mean, they would do their job, but it's like the destruction and the chaos that's going to happen because no one's going to listen to orders.
Yeah. Well, then we get back to Walker and Kyle. And
still doing
Kyle talking about
thing.
How he feels like he's being torn apart. It's killing him. And St. Walker's thinking the same thing. And he's saying, all will be well. And all this energy is being expanded off, and Kyle tells him, don't die on me, at which point John comes flying by and says, wait, what in the world's going on? He sees this giant storm, and Hal stops him and says, wait, it's Kyle, trust him, let him be there. And Kyle says, well, here we go, and he's trying to bring back all the Blue Lanterns, releases even more power, just more and more, as everything's going out, then all of a sudden the storm is done.
Yep. And we get a weird picture of
the world. All of a sudden, there's Kyle sitting there in his civilian clothes.
And I don't know what happened here. It's like he caused more harm than good.
Yeah, well, he's... St. Walker says he felt a presence, and an intruder barring their path. And Ganthet is talking about how this is impossible. Which I think I know what they're referencing here.
What?
From the Green Lanterns book, they may be talking about the Phantom Lantern or Valthoom.
That I didn't think about that.
He's the other guy that can wield the entire lantern spectrum. Emotional spectrum. It says no power should have been able to thwart this resurrection. I love his shirt, by the way.
Kyle Rayner.
Yeah, it's an old Nine-ish Nails shirt.
Yeah.
Well, it says Kyle says, "I'm sorry, in my ring, He can't feel anything. His ring has no power at all."
As we see, what's on the planet of where the Red Lantern is, Central City, where Barry is. Now, is that a blue light? Because Barry was a blue lantern at one point, which I didn't think they were going to give back to a hero that's not.
And we
a lantern
actually
anymore.
Get a guest appearance by Mr. Oz also saying that
so many questions. They're not as easy as what he thought they were going to be.
And at this point, Kyle's ring disintegrates and turns into the other rings.
And they go flying off.
And they all go flying away looking for Ascension, except for one stops. Replacement Ascension found, and it's a green ring. It is his original Green Lantern ring. And it found him and it turns him back into a Green Lantern. And it's the original costume, except for the glowing green that's out in front of it.
It's funny because it's just all called Rebirth, but a lot of the old classic characters that we haven't seen in a while, or at least done the way we were used to seeing them when they first came out, are back to being what they were when they first came out in that same costume.
And like I said, Kyle Rayner has always been my favorite Green Lantern.
Yeah. Hal's always been mine. Second would be Kyle, just because of how important he was.
Yeah.
Then it's John and Guy, because, well.
So, but that's the end of our Rebirth reviews for this week. So, we've only got one thing left to do.
Yeah, we gotta go to a shop.
We gotta do something here. And that means it's time for us to go to the comic shop for our comic shop pull list for March 29th. I'm on the wrong date here. You didn't change the date, did you?
I tried to change it.
April 5th, 2017. And remember, our comic shop pull. Well, our comic shop pull list is brought to you this week, like every week, by the Shazbots. Check them out on iTunes and Facebook. Let them know that the DC Superpowers podcast sent you, and also check them out at theshazbots.com. Now we have 10 books this week, starting with Aquaman number 20. Ah, you had the. I was up one.
Yeah,
well, Aquaman number 20, H2O Part 2. Now partnered with foes including the Aquamarines and Scavenger, Aquaman and Mera's mission with the U.S. government is off to a bad start when they discover a bizarre creature that may have killed everyone at a military research lab deep beneath the sea, and it's still hungry. Art's done by Philippe Barones and written by Dan Abnett.
Next on our list, we have Batman issue number 20, I Am Bane finale. In this epic climax, there is no going back. No more tricks. No more allies, just Batman and Bane. When the final blood spills, nothing will be the same for the Dark Knight. Art done by Danny McKay, David Finch, and written by Tom King.
Okay. Then we get to Cyborg number 11. Severely damaged and on the run, Cyborg struggles to find his father as the Rat Lord engulfs Detroit with his army of rodents. The Rat Lord oversteps his boundaries, it causes a turf war between the criminal underworld. Introducing 8-Bit, who has the power to delete everything in his path. He's looking forward to reuniting with Vic Stone. Art's done by Will Conrad and written by John Semper Jr.
Next on our list, we have Deathstroke issue number 16, Twilight Part 5. In what could be the final battle, Deathstroke, wounded and blind, confronts Deadline, the human weapon, to avenge a murder of someone close to him. Art done by Jason Pez, Carlo Pagulian?
Pagulian.
And written by Christopher Priest.
Okay. Well, next up on the list, we get Green Arrow number 20. Reunion finale. Estranged partners Green Arrow and Arsenal find common ground as they reunite to take on the violent right-wing Wild Dog militia that's been menacing Roy's childhood home at the behest of Oliver Queen's stolen corporation, leading to shocking revelations about the hero's past and huge implications for the future of Green Arrow. In the end, only one thing is certain: not even time can heal all wounds. Art done by Eleanor Carlini. and written by Benjamin Percy.
Now, that's Vertigo right there, isn't it?
It looks like, yeah, it looks like Vertigo's in this one.
Cool. I'm waiting to see him back. Next, we have Green Lanterns issue number 20. This goes to what we were talking about, the Phantom Ring.
Mm-hmm.
Green Impurity Part 2. Following the events of Justice League versus Suicide Squad, Polaris strikes. The two Green Lanterns are caught between the two wearing personalities of the Master of Magnetism. That gets me every time. There's two of you guys. are done by Rowan Kultik and written by Sam Humphries.
Okay, next up is the one that I'm surprised by every time, every week.
Yeah.
Is Harley Quinn number 17, Deadly Sin Part 1. The Twisted Harley Sins. That's their actual last name? Okay. Oh, look, that's it. The Twisted Harley Sin has been released from prison, and she's looking to hurt Harley in a whole new way by going after someone she loved and lost. And to make this issue extra unmissable, a brand new backup story begins, set in Harley's earliest days with the Joker, and co-written by one of Harley's original creators, Paul Dini.
Oh, that's fine then.
Harley loves Joker. Kicks off as Harley makes the biggest mistakes of her burgeoning criminal career, accidentally revealing the location of Mr. J's hideout. Art is done by John Timms and is written by Jimmy Palmiani and Amanda Connor.
Now, is this going to be his old hideout, or anything where he's actually at now hideout?
I don't know.
Because we haven't seen the actual Joker back.
You'll have to find out.
Well, yeah, we have. In Batman Beyond.
Yeah, but that's in the future. I need to know how he got here now. Next, we got Timeless. Who knows?
Yeah.
Justice League issue number 18, Timeless Part 4. Separated by centuries, the Justice League fight their way through the Timeless hordes towards the incredible machines that are unwinding history. Except Batman, who has undertakes a mission to rescue Superman from the clutches of the Timeless Mind. You have Batman saving Superman once again. Art done by Matt Ryan, Ferdango Parisian, and written by Brian Hitch.
Okay. Next up, we get Nightwing number 18. Nightwing Must Die, Part 3. Someone Dick loves is being held by one of the deranged foes of his past, Professor Pig. Nightwing and Robin race to stop Pig's attack, but an even darker villain may be waiting for them in the aftermath. Art's done by Javier Fernandez, and it's written by Tim Seeley. And the last book for this week
is Superman issue number 20, Superman Black, Part 1. A Superman Reborn aftermath ties in. As the smoke clears, the Kents are faced with leaving Hamilton and going back to Metropolis. But someone or something doesn't want them to leave. Batman and Robin discover something is mysteriously wrong with the son of Superman. He's losing his powers.
Ooh.
Art done by Mick Gray, Patrick Gleason, written by Patrick Gleason, and Peter J. Tomasi.
And that brings us to the end of the show.
It does.
It was a good week for news, and the shows are hitting on all cylinders again.
Once again, yes. And now you gotta wait a month almost to finish all the shows.
We want to thank everybody for hanging out with us, and everybody on Facebook Live, thank you for hanging out with us. It's been a great issue 50. It's been a full year, 50 issues. And here's to 50, at least 50 or more.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get to 100.
That's right. Well, we'll get past 100. We're going strong.
We got to take this step by step.
That's right. So, Vernon, I want to thank you for hanging out with me for this journey.
No problem, man. Thanks for inviting me on this journey.
That's right. We started a year ago. We were asked by Mike from Mighty Marvel Geeks that they wanted a DC show to go along with them. We're like, well, we'll try this out and see what it is. And we've made it 50 issues so far and still going strong. So I also want to thank Mike and Eric and Kylan over at Mighty Marvel Geeks for allowing us to play in their sandbox a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank all you listeners and the viewers now on Facebook Live for hanging out with us this long. We know you guys are downloading. That's awesome. Thank you. Keep that going. Let everybody else know about DC Superpowers Podcast. And with that, Vernon, why don't you let everybody know where they can find us?
Guys, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram, DC Superpowers Podcast, and on Twitter you can find us at Superpowers DC. For my personal usage, you can find me on Facebook, Vernon McWayne Moore, Instagram, Howlin' That Wolf, and Twitter, Be Yellow.
And you can find me on Facebook as Ken Rose, on Twitter and Instagram as GW1Ken. And Ty, you've been hanging out with us the whole time. Are you ready this week?
Yeah, I'm ready. I have to do my plug this time.
Okay, Facebook, how can they find you?
Facebook, you can find me at Ty Graves. And Twitter, you can find me at Heartless. Replace the first E with 3 and the second E with X.
Awesome. And also, you can find us. We're part of the Tangent Bound and the Weebie Geeks networks at tangentboundnetwork.com and weebiegeeks.net. And with that, Ty, thank you for hanging out with us and helping us celebrate issue 50.
Oh, yeah. Congrats. Congrats to y'all.
Thank you. Thank you.
And like I said, Super Friends, thank you for hanging out. Vernon, we'll see you next week.
Mm-hmm. And we will be back again.
That's right. And Super Friends, we'll see you next week.
Deuces.
You're listening to a Weebie Geeks Network podcast.